is on. The three best friends you never knew you had, running through the most viral stories of the day. The News Junkie Sean Wasson with Sabrina and Celine.
It's the News Junkie for a Tuesday, March 27, 2018. Lots to get to today. From the death of finders, keepers, losers, weepers, to the dilly dog needs to be destroyed and banned immediately. And is there anything racist about this Heineken ad? Plus your calls, dispatches, emails, texts, and more. Hey there, Sabrina.
Hello.
Hello, C-Lab.
Good morning.
Lots to talk about today. It is, of course, a Share the Show Tuesday, friends.
You better believe
it. What does that mean, you ask? Well, it means you got to share the show with somebody. Just spread the word like it is gospel from the mountains on high. Tell people about the News Junkie. Say, have you heard of this show? You got to listen to it. Here's a link. Just pass this along to them. You can send it around and spread the word, and we'll build up here this empire that is underway. And it's all because of you. So thank you on this lovely Share the Show Tuesday. How that got attached to Cher, the musician, I have no idea.
It sounds the same.
Yeah, Cher, and then now all of a sudden, and then Cher Bears was a thing for a while. Thank God that is gone and in the woods right now, because that was a really bad moment in life there. But yeah, Share the Show Tuesday. Pass around the show to a friend. Tell them about the Facebook page or give them the stream or whatever it is you'd like to do to take part in helping us out to spread the word about the show. Also, what you can do is send in a dispatch to be part of what we're doing today. And on Share the Show Tuesday, and in fact, on almost every single day on the News Junkie, I like to look at dispatches that are your first and rush you right to the front of the pack. So if you've never done it before, today is the day. I've been sent this story probably 100 times in the last 48 hours. I posted it over the weekend on Facebook.com/TheNewsJunkie, so everybody can take a look. And there's more details now, so I might as well, I mean, you guys are pining for this, I guess, and I might as well get into the additional details they've just released. It's about Brittany Zamora, who's just the latest teacher to get caught up in a sexual relationship with her student. And I mean, at some point here, there has got to be a deeper study into what's going on, into why this is happening. I know, and I'm not pretending here, I know this is not as important as something like violence in schools. They've got way more important issues to deal with, but it's a very bizarre phenomenon that seems to happen quite frequently. And it happens with female teachers, generally in their late 20s or early 30s, and male students. That's the case in almost all of these stories. Brittany Zamora, 27 years old. She's an incredibly attractive woman. Why in the hell does she have any interest in having sex with a 13-year-old student? I will never understand this stuff. You look at this, you go, why? I mean, the woman's married. She is a grown-ass woman. She could get whatever guy she wanted to. I mean, take a look at it. We're going to put this photo up. You got that up, C-Lan?
Yeah, it's up.
It's up now on the See It Now section of the News Junkie app. Take a look at her and tell me she would have problems getting anybody she wanted. And then where's her focus? On a 13-year-old kid in her classroom. What drives somebody to be sexually attracted by this stuff? And now the new details on what this latest teacher did with this 13-year-old. They not only had sex, they had sex in the classroom.
Okay.
And many times they exchanged lewd text messages.
This is a porno come true. Just right in the classroom. I want you need to stay after class for some makeup work.
Yeah, Mr. Man, stay
then,
right there.
All of a sudden, the 70s wah-wah pedal guitar just kicks in.
You know what they said? They said that this woman, she started at some point in time chatting with the classroom, like all the students in the class, in some app that they have, and went from that to like flirting with the student, went from that to, I think even on the classroom app, sending him nude photographs.
I think that was they went private at some point.
Yeah, oh yeah, of course. I mean, not just in the main chat room.
She slid into his DMs.
Yeah, right. But why on earth is any of this happening over and over and over again?
I like the obvious censorship by the Evening Standard, where it says, in another text, she is said to have written, if I could quit my job and, in parentheses, have sex with, out of parentheses, you all day, I would. Obviously, that was one word that they changed into three.
13-year-old kid, and she allegedly performed oral sex on the boy in a classroom just 2 weeks before her arrest. Now, one other thing I'm interested in when it comes to stories like this is, why do the husbands just sit there and lockstep and defend? And this woman's husband did exactly that. This woman's husband contacted the kid's parents.
Oh, yeah. He asked to handle the situation informally, that they should meet up and settle it.
Yeah, and meet up and settle it? I would be right in line with the boy's father, this 13-year-old kid who was having sex with the teacher. The father goes, wait a second, what does that mean? Meet up and settle it? Wait, I mean, I've got information. This guy might be killing me in a parking lot somewhere. You know, what's going to happen here? And plus, the guy stepping up for her, it just seems so, so bizarre to me. They even have the video of her in this Arizona courtroom and the judge talking about all this, and she doesn't even seem really all that upset by things. Here's some of that.
So, hi. Your name and your date of birth, please?
The judge.
Brittany Zamora, 1591.
And appearances, please?
Scott Wolfram for the state, Your Honor.
You're here on a new case out of Superior Court for 4 counts of sexual conduct with a minor, Class 2 felonies.
13!
5 counts of sexual conduct with a minor, Class 2 felonies. 2 counts of child molestation, Class 2 felonies. And 1 count of obscene material transmittal, a Class 4 felony. The court does not intend to find probable cause on 4 of those sexual conduct charges at this time. Mr. Wolfram, do you wish to address that?
So they said that she had sex with the student 3 times, performed oral sex in the classroom and in her car between February 1st and March 1st with this 13-year-old kid. She's 27. I have no idea why she's preying on these kids in the classroom.
No, and they said that there was mention of a second victim.
Yeah.
It's just, you see the same storyline with every single one of these cases.
Yeah.
It's not just a one-time thing.
No.
This is an ongoing relationship.
Why? With a 13-year-old. I mean, that's so weird to me.
Well, when I first read this and the report about the husband wanting to settle it outside of court, I wasn't reading a narrative that went, we're going to duke this out.
No.
Or fight. It made it just sound like, hey, he didn't want his wife's life to be completely ruined.
He said she made a mistake.
Yeah.
And he wanted to kind of like step up and defend her. But I mean, I might take that as ominous if somebody said, let's meet in a parking lot and settle this. You know, I agree with you. I think that he was saying, let's just talk this out and find some kind of amicable way to get out of this. But what was that going to be? I promise you, my wife will never give your son oral sex again. At least not in the classroom or her car. Like, what would have been the amicable settlement of all that? They're going over some of the details here.
Your Honor, in going through the release questionnaire and the attached statement of facts, it is a little unclear as to differentiating the separate allegations themselves. I actually was, upon my review, looking at 8 sex conduct allegations, but the state's not going to argue with the court's findings with regard to the allegations before you, given the overall.
So she's just calmly sitting there at the end. She's like, I want to go back to my husband. I want to go home and be with my husband. I just seen so many of these stories. Look at the photo. Look at her on the See It Now section of the News Junkie app. She's not desperate for attention. She's married. She's attractive. She would get swiped. What do you want to get swiped left? What do you want on Tinder?
I don't remember.
You get a left swipe?
I don't know.
You get a good swipe on Tinder like crazy.
I've never Tindered.
And she's sitting there having sex with a 13-year-old kid. And it's got to be a very particular thing. It's so weird that it happens in schools so much. It's so weird that it happens with women and these young boys that are the students. It's just very, very odd. And it seems like everybody just goes, all right, well, you know, high five them to death, right? You know, let's move on and keep that there. Check that out. See her mugshot in the See It Now section of the News Junkie app. When we come back, we'll get into your dispatches. And I want to talk about this situation in Ocala where it was an absolute finders keepers scenario. and somebody ended up in jail for that finders keepers scenario. Is it dead, the whole thought of it? Is finders keepers over with? We'll discuss that next. Plus, as I said, get into your dispatches on a Share the Show Tuesday. Back in just a moment. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
The biggest stories of the day in all their glory and insanity. You're listening to the News Junkie.
So bizarre. Brittany Zamora, this teacher we were talking about, 27 years old, is having sex with a 13-year-old student. The text messages have been released. And she likes going through the text messages, and this 13-year-old kid was, like, rabid.
He was, I mean, the story that we read just before the break focused on her text messages because they focused on her being this predator.
Yeah.
The victim here.
Mm-hmm.
I want to blank you, or I want to blank so bad, BBY, which is
baby.
Text talk for baby. Those times weren't enough for me. And she said, I know I want you every day with no time limit. And if I could quit my job and blank you all day, I would. And then he said, I need more something from you.
What was he saying? I need more more pee? Or need more...
He doesn't need shoulders, knees, and toes.
Oh, the other part. Okay, I need more. Okay. Oh, wow. So he's putting out demands there.
To which she said, I'll give you whatever you want, baby.
Yeah, well, you can look at this from so many perspectives. And I know there's so many people who look at this and go, this kid is not a victim. And that's fine, but it's possible for this kid to be a willing participant and still for something wrong to have happened with this teacher. There's so many things about these stories that I find unbelievably difficult to understand. And why her husband stands with her. If that happened to me, are you kidding me? You kidding me? If I went home and I heard some story about that, I'd see you later. By the end of the sentence, you wouldn't get, I had sex with a 13-year-old out of your mouth. It's done. It's over. I'm not standing there for this. And there she is talking to the judge and go, I just want to get out of here.
I'd love to go home.
I want to go home.
At least. That'd be amazing.
Just let me go.
There's like, just stay at my house or I'd love to go home to my husband.
Mm-hmm. Anything else?
You should have thought about that before you...
Before you're having sex with a 13-year-old student multiple times. And the teacher's husband goes, she made a big mistake. She just made a big... It was an oversight, I guess you could say. And you could look at that. C-Lane's adding a mugshot to the story as well, so you can see Brittany Zamora.
Well, I'm going to post another thing on See It Now that's got this court record here.
Okay, so with the text messages?
Read the text messages for yourself.
It's really amazing how advanced that 13-year-old was at the dirty talking and dirty texts sent through this thing to this teacher. Check that out. Let's get into some dispatches. You can send these in through the News Junkie app, just like CJ Hoop Ninja. Here we go.
Hey guys, so I was listening to the show from yesterday and you were talking about the negative connotation put on Stormy Daniels with all the chyrons that put porn star in front of her.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, there certainly are some outlets that are shaming her, but in general they just put porn star before her name and they do that for most people. It's Senator Bernie Sanders, not father and grandfather Bernie Sanders. If Sean was on a chyron, they would say local radio DJ.
DJ
not
would kill me.
Fish owner Sean Wasson. Just a different perspective. I think your heart's in the right
place. She's not currently making porn. That's the thing I say. My point is, they take these people, and it's like once a porn star, always a porn star. And if you did a wide variety of things, and then one of them was a porn star, that's what they would use. This is how the media always handles this stuff. It's like the sexiest thing they can think of. Rob Ford, the politician who was caught smoking crack on video in Canada, if that guy was on, it wouldn't say former politician Rob Ford. It'd say crackhead. Crackhead Rob Ford. Here he is. And they use porn star, I think, many times in a derogatory manner when referring to somebody who what they're talking about has absolutely nothing to do with their career. I see your point, But I think a lot of times when they're not even currently making those things, like right now, you would be better off to say stripper, because Stormy Daniels is just going around doing these club tours as a stripper or performer, not as a porn star anymore. I mean, there's a lot of things beyond that that they do to take porn stars when they come into news stories and shame them anyhow. Oh, no, I apologize. It is a Share the Show Tuesday, and hello, my friends, sends in a very first dispatch. Don't screw it up. Here you go.
Hello, my friends. So I was listening to yesterday's podcast, and I heard you speaking about people who can give themselves goosebumps. And I can actually make myself sneeze, which comes in handy on days that...
Do it.
You're at work and you just don't want to be there. So you start sneezing like crazy and everyone thinks you have the plague and you get sent home. It's kind of nice.
Do it.
Anyways, thanks.
What are you doing? What?
You have to prove it. We don't believe you.
You sent in a dispatch saying you can fake a sneeze, like, a, you know, actually something's coming out, and then you don't do it? I think faking a sneeze is not that hard, though, right? No, I guess you can't, really. You just do it through your mouth. It's can you,
it sounded
are you,
fake.
Are you getting stuff out of your nose when you're doing that? I'm not doing it, I don't think. Prove to us that you could do it with another dispatch. Here is Fred Flip Phone.
So yesterday you were talking about waffles, so naturally I got to chime in because I'm a fat ass. Anyways, so I'm not the biggest chicken and waffle fan. It's all right, but a couple years ago, and they didn't do it last year and it pissed me off, but a couple years ago during Christmas time, SeaWorld had this sandwich. It was a buffalo chicken and waffle sandwich.
Yeah.
So it didn't have any syrup or anything like that, and it had these little buffalo chicken bites on these mini waffles, and man. Anyways.
Good stuff, I'm sure. Thank you.
Slam the phone down.
Bam! At the end of the dispatch. Let's go over to Mel.
Good morning, news junkies. I hope you all are having a good day. My day's not going too bad. I am running extremely late, though, for everything. Not to where I'm going, but just the day in general has ran late, and it's only 11 o'clock, and it's already pushed back 2 hours. But it'll be okay. It's a great day. You guys are on. I'm happy. It'll be good. Hope to hear what you guys are going to talk about, and I'm excited. Take care. See y'all later.
Yeah, don't drive crazy, especially after what C-Lane was showing me this morning. Did you see the video that he had?
No.
Oh, my God, man.
I'll send you the screenshot.
Somebody on their way to work this morning, and this is just one of those things. Slow down. Relax. Take a deep breath. Take your time. They got into an accident, and C-Lane holds his phone over just as he's stopping at the stoplight. The car is completely on the driver's side door, like vertical, I guess you would say, and just like up and down, on its side.
Yeah, it's sideways.
And the car is just sitting there. Everybody's kind of grabbing this person over to the side of the road who I guess had to crawl out the passenger window to even get out of this vehicle to begin with. And who knows? I mean, that's just like a one last second decision. Relax. Take your time. Drive safe out there, please. Here is Mel.
Good morning, news junkies. I hope you all are having a good day.
Did I just do that one?
My day's not going too bad.
I just wanted to tell him again. Drive safe. Double drive safe, Mel. No. Here's Squirrels My Nuts.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hope everybody's having a good Tuesday. Just checking in, saying hey.
Okay.
Counting down the days. I'll go on vacation next week. Got a nice little spot down in Key Largo. Gonna go down there, spend the week down there with no kids. First vacation with no kids. Oh, that's gonna be awesome. I can't wait. I can get as drunk as I want and not have the responsibility of changing diapers. Yes.
Yeah.
That is a score for me. So, other than that, hope you guys have a good day. Later.
Thank you. The other thing that grabs me about the story about the teacher having sex with a 13-year-old student and seeing all these text messages and whatnot is just the fact that it's a kid. It's a kid. And it's almost to me, in a way, like when I see these stories, there's another one this week, as a matter of fact, where I see a story like this. 26-year-old woman says she's the latest to sell her virginity. She says she sold her virginity to a Hollywood actor who they're not naming, and she got $1.93 million for doing so on this controversial auction website, Cinderella Escorts. I would do this if I was in her position. Why wouldn't you? $2 million for your virginity? I just don't understand the other side. What guy in the world What's that? I want to pay $2 million for somebody who has no experience, somebody who has no, they have no idea what they're doing in bed, and you're going to pay $2 million for that. I'll pay $2 million for the person who's the best at it.
They probably have a bunch of money. That $2 million is chump change, but that's a whole power thing. I mean, that is, you can't tell me that that's not the first time you've heard of it. It's nothing to do with the skill level. It's the fact that you took that. You have that under your belt, another notch.
Well, there's people who are attracted to that, for sure. I just never made sense of that. I think that there should be somebody out there that goes, look how amazing I am. I can spin around like this. I can contort like this. I can make you do this in this amount of time. And they go, it's $2 million. That's the running price for me. But you see these things, and they make these little videos that are so creepy. It's like,
hello.
This is Jasmine,
I think. And I'm 26 years old, and I live in the UK. I would like to sell my virginity on Cinderella Escort Agency because, to be honest, I would love to travel the world. I would like to visit America and maybe do a road trip around America. I really like that a lot. Also, maybe visit countries like Asia, Dubai, and also in the future, I would
just
really
for
like
your virginity.
To set up my own business. And I feel like this would be an opportunity for me to move on in the world and progress. And obviously, I would be doing it for financial reasons.
Of course you would be.
That's why I would like to sell my virginity.
Of course you would. $2 million. You have sex with some Hollywood actor that they're not naming, who outbid a Manchester United football player with a $964,000 offer. Jeez. And a German businessman who said, I'll pay $1.77 million. No, no, no. This Hollywood actor said, here is $1.93 million.
And did you see the other details of how, I guess, legitimate this whole website and situation is?
No.
She has a doctor's certificate guaranteeing her virginity.
Who's this doctor?
I'm not sure.
What doctor do they have on file? They're like, hey, will you guarantee that these are virgins for us?
But they also say the Hollywood actor has a right, I guess, through the fine line and the terms of agreement on the website, to bring his own doctor to verify it before the encounter.
It's like buying a car. You bring it over to your mechanic first, let him poke around.
Show me the Carfax.
Take a look at it. Oh, I didn't get into this story. You know what? I'll just do it now because I thought this was pretty interesting. In Ocala, a man has confessed to stealing a motorcycle that was left behind after a crash, speaking of accidents, saying the bike was his way out of the state of Florida. Joseph Bernanke is the guy charged with grand theft of a motor vehicle. And they're saying that he had an outstanding warrant in New Jersey. But grand theft is what he was charged for. Here's the weird thing. There was an accident. And the accident happened several days before. And this guy had a Harley. It's like a blue Harley Davidson. 2016. Crashed it pretty bad. Busted up this Harley. And then left it at the scene. And they said that it was there for days and days and days. And then this guy comes along and he's like, finders keepers, I found a blue Harley. I'm going to take this and I'm going to bring it over to my tent. And then I'm going to figure out how to get this thing to be my ride out of the state of Florida. Well, they said you can't quite do that. Even though it was sitting here, you can't just grab whatever you find. He was riding on State Road 200 at about 40 miles an hour during afternoon rush hour, the guy who crashed this, when a car cut in front of him. He said, it nipped my tire a little bit. I got nervous and laid the bike down. How's this? My whole left side was a road rash.
Oh.
Always gets me. Always gets me when I hear that. And when I see somebody on a motorcycle wearing shorts, I think you are begging for it right now. Put something else on. The turn sent the bike sliding down the road. And they said with the help of people stopping for him, he was able to get the motorcycle into the median, call his mother for help. And they went, obviously, to the hospital. So that was like Friday or so. And then you go all the way to Sunday. The motorcycle was still there. And this guy comes over and grabs it. And he said, I saw it right there. Why in the hell would I not get this thing? The police saying that whole finders, keepers, losers, weepers thing is not going to necessarily work for you in a court of law. So he finds himself in a little bit of trouble. Also in trouble, or at least facing a lot of criticism right now, is the lead singer, believe the lead singer, of this particular band. I don't think anybody will get there.
Oh, Eagles of Death Metal.
All righty. Maybe you will. Eagles of Death Metal and Jesse Hughes did some posts about the marches and protests, March for Our Lives stuff that you may have seen over the weekend. And this guy said, this is pathetic and disgusting, blah, blah, blah. He ranted against some of the students and what their points were. He's deleted a bunch of these Instagram posts, but people started going nuts. There was somebody on NME.com, which is a music review and music news website, that said, he needs to shut up. What's he doing talking about this? This is unbelievable. The guy is saying things that I don't agree with. Right, I don't agree with a bunch of the statements that he made. I thought some of them were over the top. Like one of the things he said, the Whitney Houston song about letting the children lead the way wasn't actually an operating paradigm for life. And when the truth don't line up with your BS narrative, just hold your breath and stamp your feet and refuse to accept it. Then take multiple days off school playing hooky at the expense of 16-year classmates' blood. It might be funny if it wasn't so pathetic and disgusting. And the thing is, this guy knows about mass shootings.
Seriously.
He survived the Bataclan attack. He was the guy on stage as they went in and massacred people. So I don't agree with him, but I'm not going to be the one to tell him, hey, you're not allowed in this debate. You're not allowed to have a point of view that maybe disagrees with what's happening.
That being said, though, is he trying to be metal about it?
He always does this. Have you ever read any interviews with him?
No, I mean, I'm sure I have in the past, but it just seems like a comment like this, nothing really stops you. There's no little angel on his shoulders like, maybe this is the bad time. No, I'm gonna be metal about it, anarchy style.
Yeah,
and say something completely opposite.
Hit send all the time on those. But the guy was involved in one of the biggest mass shootings in recorded history, or at least recent recorded history. So I'm not going to take that point and go, oh, how dare you, sir? You're not allowed to have an opinion in this debate. That guy has the story that backs up him having an opinion, whether you like it or not. More of your dispatches next. And CNN goes off the rails once again. The details on the way. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
It's just like being in a studio with us, almost.
What's the problem? It's like you've never been in a tight space with someone whipping
you. Facebook.com/RealRadio1041. Brought to you by Seacoast Bank. See why local is better by visiting SeacoastBank.com. Better. Real. Real. High diving face first into the world's most viral newsroom. This is the News Junkie.
I'm gonna crash it.
I was re-examining the conversation I had with Dylan. My son is 17 now. God, he's going to be 18 this year, which is crazy to think about. But I was re-examining the discussion I had with him about the Instagram post, where I told him, and mind you, I didn't tell him to stop doing anything except for posting the photos that he was posting on Instagram. And he's got himself with like a drink in his hand. And I'm going,
hashtag free Dylan.
Yeah. Hashtag free Dylan was a thing for a while because he got in trouble at school. I found out the story behind that one. Did I tell you guys that? I think it was on the secret show where I talked to him that I told that story. He was caught vaping in the bathroom.
Oh.
Yeah. And so I didn't even tell him to stop doing these things, which, you know, he should stop doing them. But I told him stop posting them on Instagram. And then his response was, most of my friends don't even let their parents follow them on Instagram.
Ooh.
And I thought, is that true? I think that probably is true. Most people, like, do you let your parents follow you on social media? I mean, you're not a teenager anymore, but.
Yeah, I do now, but there was a time that nobody was following me on any of the social medias.
Like, zap back to 17-year-old Sabrina.
Yeah.
You know, MySpace?
I had a MySpace, and they weren't on it, so that was fortunate. When Facebook started coming out, then it took a very long time for us to accept each other's friend requests.
You just left it in the queue?
And then Instagram comes around, and I blocked for a while, like, just any family that was related, because everyone loved to gossip. But then eventually I was like, eh, who cares? there you go.
Yeah.
I mean, why will I post anything that I don't want my family to see that I'll allow the public to see?
Well, he's not at that level yet. That's like a grown-up realization about life. And he's just going, I'm going to post it all. But I just saw a second ago. And kudos to him for it. Dylan posted on Instagram a picture of himself. And my good God, does he need a haircut so bad.
Oh, we saw that picture last night.
About the hat?
Yeah.
Where he said he posted a picture of himself, and he said he lost his Cage the Elephant hat, which Cage the Elephant is his favorite band in the world. Mac DeMarco and Cage the Elephant. He won't shut up about it.
Man, Dylan on his Facebook, in parentheses, Delonious.
Is that what it
is? I like that. Delonious.
Delonious.
Has he released any more music on there for his birthday? I bought him like a whole studio worth of stuff. I bought him all kinds of stuff, mics and all the things you could need to record on your computer.
There was, I feel like he posted a screenshot of his SoundCloud.
Yeah. So he posts on Instagram his latest photo. Dylan posts him with his pink hat on, this Cage the Elephant hat, and he goes, man, I lost my Cage the Elephant hat in sad face. And one of his friends says, this is Pearl Harbor all over again.
Okay.
And then Pizza Peisenberg goes, nothing a Mike's Hard Lemonade can't fix.
Heisenberg, why are you commenting on a 17-year-old kid's Instagram?
I like it. Bring him right back down to earth there. Nothing a Mike's Hard Lemonade can't fix. I got to have a conversation with this kid. And he can't block me on Instagram.
Oh, that Heisenberg is trolling your kid.
He can't block me on Instagram because I'm the source of all of the Uber money that he gets. Of all the money when he wants to go out. He doesn't have a job or anything. He's threatening to shut me down on there. I'm his entire funding operation. So,
also, you know, if he blocks you on Instagram, how's he going to get followers from when we talk about the stuff that he posts?
He's a good kid.
He has you to thank for a lot of those followers.
Yeah. I don't know if he's thanking me right now when stuff like that happens. He's like, man. He's a great kid. I just want him to stop posting photos of Mike's Hard Lemonade and, you know, be good and stop drinking at 17. This is what kids do, though. I'm a realist. Speaking of drinking, a drunk woman has been arrested. This is one of those moments where you need to evaluate your life and what you've done and what got you there. And this 54-year-old Ohio woman by the name of LaDonna Hewitt needs to do precisely that. She was arrested after a witness told police she was making lewd comments to an Easter bunny at a park. They had like a setup where you could take a photo with an Easter bunny. And this lady is hammered and she sits on the Easter bunny's lap and starts talking about dirty sex stuff.
You want to find my eggs?
And the police end up showing up and arresting her.
Oh, that's funny.
They said she started making crude comments to the fuzzy creature while having her picture taken. Police said her speech was slurred, her eyes were bloodshot. They smelled alcohol in her breath, and she was unsteady on her feet, a.k.a. she was hammered. She was placed under arrest and taken to the Richland County Jail. And because ABC 11, who has the story and runs with it, wants to be cute, the Easter Bunny did not comment if she'd still be receiving an Easter basket this year. Mm-hmm. So there we go. This woman is all drunk and all horned up, and the Easter Bunny is in her playing field. Rethink life, please. Let's go to some dispatches. Here is Johnny Cocktail.
So I heard we got real life cucks in the chat room.
My God.
Rick, I saw your post trying to delete that and hide it. Little problems with the old lady. Karma turnaround sucks, huh? Get on your podcast and talk crap about everybody's wife, but not so fun when you're on the receiving end of it, huh?
Oh,
what's happening?
Wiggle, wiggle, pop, pop. Rick's a cook.
Okay, a cook, he said. Yes, I thought that was going another direction at the end there.
Sounded like he said cook, like Rick, you know.
Maybe he is.
Likes
I don't
to
know.
Whip up a nice reggaeton.
Is there some kind of chat drama going on?
Oh, I don't know. There's always drama with that
Let
guy.
Me see. Let me just take a peek in here. I don't know what's happening. I haven't looked today, and I promised I would, so let me keep the chat up for the rest of the show.
Check your text messages, too.
Look at that in just 1 second. Let's just see. Maybe they're in there. I don't know. Hello to Moy, KidCat13, and Juan Wayne, the Echo C, Scrotal Nectar, everybody who's hanging out in the chat room in the News Junkie app. I don't see him in there. I don't know what they're talking about. Let me see the text from... I mean, what is this kid doing? He's got his artsy photo with a little vape cloud just trickling. I got to have a conversation with him today. Don't ever threaten that you're going to block me on Instagram, sir. That's not happening. A first dispatch from Ed. Ed.
Hey, news junkie.
Hey.
You didn't quite get the bike story right. The guy called his mom to pick up the bike, and she was there 15 minutes later, and it was already stashed behind a store by the thief. He stashed it there for a few days, and then when he thought it was clear, he went and got it.
All right, thank you, Ed, for the clarification. Yeah, it said in the report that the bike was there for some time before this happened, so perhaps you're saying he grabbed it quicker than they suggested. When everybody had cleared away from the scene and this guy headed over to the ambulance. He was a homeless man who was living in a tent right there where he had this thing stored. And despite the fact that there was no key in it or anything, he was able to hotwire the bike.
I was thinking bicycle for some reason when the dispatcher played. And I had a police officer friend that used to tell me about when he would do bait bike operations.
Uh-huh.
They would just leave a bicycle somewhere, like in front of a convenience store, and just wait for somebody to steal it.
Yeah?
I mean, they spent entire days doing this.
And just sit there?
Part of me felt like it was somewhat entrapment, but it's not really.
You know what? When you're younger, like I remember being 17 or 18, I was like, they can't do that. That's entrapment. It turns out police can do whatever they want.
Yeah, they had a whole Cops episode based on it. Nice, shiny bike. Made no sense that someone would just leave it in the middle of a busy city and the middle of the night and just watch everybody, the camera crew, while somebody just walks by and just rides it away.
And then
like,
arrest
come
them?
On, you just the shiny bike there. Of course someone's going to take advantage of it.
Well, I've seen this before, and I've seen where they sit on the side of the road with their lights on, and I always thought that. Like, if they're on the side of the road or the police officer's hiding or their lights are off, I'd always go, can't do that. That's entrapment. And that's like the belief that everybody has where if you talk to somebody who's either a prostitute or selling you drugs and you go, hey, man, you a cop?
You have to answer.
They have to say yes.
That's my favorite, watching the undercover shows. Like Cops or any of the other sting shows that they do, when the person says that and goes through with it, like, you got to tell me if you're a cop, right?
You know the law is you got to tell me if you're a cop. No, they don't. They just go, nope, I'm not a cop. And they go right along with it, and I guess nothing is entrapment. Let's go over to Noel Johnny.
Happy share of the show to the news junkie.
You too.
Yeah, it seems like every week you got another female teacher banging it out with a male student. These women need to go to jail for 5 to 10 years minimum. This is getting ridiculous. Because you know if it was a male teacher, there would be a huge uproar over it, and they'd want the guy's head on served on a silver platter. Wiggle, wiggle, pop, pop.
You know, that's just not happening as much. It's just not happening as much. It's way more common, at least from the perspective of the news stories that you see. I don't know about the actual details on the stats for a female teacher to do this.
I wonder if guys are just more careful about it. Because I'm not going to pretend that there's never a situation where a girl thinks her teacher's hot and wants to try and do something about it. But I wonder if guys are just like more scared. I think that the girls just think they can get away with it.
Well, I wonder a lot of things about how this happens. And mostly it's about the parents. The parents are usually the ones, at least in the last handful of stories, that catch the kids watching their phones with like an app that tells them what kind of text messages they're sending or, you know, snooping in on their digital, what they're doing.
I just think that it's a big difference between the relationships that we, and, you know, it's a loose term, obviously, because this is illegal for both men and women, but the relationships you see with female teachers and male students versus a, I don't know, kind of like one-time sex situation where this is probably not the first time that that person has done something sneaky with an underager. It's not like this emotional connection you're finding with pages of evidence of text messages and flirting. It's just like,
well, they're dating. I mean, they were that teacher and that student were like in a relationship.
Mm-hmm. And that's how it's been with a lot of the stories that we talk about along these lines.
Or even what's her name? God, I always forget her name. Who is the one who
the
married?
The most famous one.
Peterson.
Yeah. Was it Deborah LaFave?
Yes, LaFave.
Deborah LaFave. And
I don't know where Peterson came from.
You said it confidently.
I'm just throwing out
Peterson
names.
Johnson. Deborah LaFave and the student that she had a sexual relationship with. And they ended up getting married after all of that. And they stayed together for a while. They divorced a handful of years ago. I remember that story. Back in just a moment, I'll get to that audio of CNN in a segment that just went absolutely off the rails. Plus, the bracket that has everybody arguing. And maybe we can bring an end to this argument next. Stay put. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Your next chance to win $1,000 is just minutes away on Real Radio 104.1. Confirming all reports and some of your biggest fears. You're listening to the News Junkie, Sean Wasson. Won't you help me sober up? Growing up made me numb, and I wanna feel something again.
Won't you help me sober up? I don't know how I feel about this. Did you guys see this? The Real Radio Instagram account has just posted the Real Radio van, which they, I mean, it was old. We all know, we've been outside and seen this thing a million times. It needed a new wrap on this thing. In fact, they should have just blown it up or done one of these old radio bits where they just drop it from a crane or something, because that thing is old. But they redid it with a new wrap, and I'm trying to see if I like it. I mean, it looks better than it did.
Oh, I think it looks great. I love it.
It's more colors now.
Flashy. Very yellow.
The we say what we want thing, though. Always, that one always gets me. We say what we want is on the side.
I like the logo looks nice and big on the side.
It looks better than it did. Because before, the Real Radio van, which drives around, goes to all these great promotions, the promotions team does, was just a black van with a giant logo, yellow logo that said Real Radio 104.1. There really was not much to it. That was it. That was like our representation on the streets was an old creeper van, a big black one with just a big yellow logo on the side.
We do what we want.
We say what we want. We do what we want, I guess. And we wrap the vans the way we want. But take a look at that on the Real Radio Instagram. Search for Real Radio 104.1 on Instagram to find that. It looks good. It looks better than it did. It was boring before. And now at least you got some action and activity going on there.
Oh, that just reminded me as I was scrolling down the Instagram page of the traffic cam with the accident right under our billboard.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. Somebody responded to that.
How dare you?
There was an accident on I-4, and the Real Radio billboard is in the background. I almost said the News Junkie billboard. God forbid they put our faces on a billboard. Put that out there.
I'll have to do it myself, man.
Yeah.
Get your pennies out.
I get emails from people all the time. They're like, what is that billboard service that C-Lane used? We're still going to do something with that. I can't necessarily tell you right now what that is. But the We Say What We Want billboard on I-4, there was a minor fender bender in front of it. And somebody on the official Real Radio Facebook page posted, you know, here is an accident. Sorry about your luck, guys. But thanks for the product placement, being that the traffic cam showed the accident and in the background was the billboard. And some smug asshole comments, oh, this is, you know, what is it? This is gross. This is gross of you to post it. Get over yourself. You have a little fun with a photograph. Nobody's injured.
I mean, if anything is going to reinforce the we say what we want mantra, it'll be a tweet that says, sorry about your car accident, but thanks for the product placement.
Right, yeah. See, we're living up to the statement, I guess.
Yeah.
I saw that. I was like, come on with this stuff. That's somebody just cracking the knuckles going, today was the day I wanted to get offended, and my half-assed attempt to do so starts right this moment. Meanwhile, let's peek in on CNN and see how things are going over there when they talk about Stormy Daniels. They're, I'm sure, very logically discussing this. Nobody's getting too upset. There aren't people screaming at each other saying, you owe me $1 million.
First of all, that's another $1 million.
No, but where is he?
All right, so Michael Cohen is going to litigate this case in a court of competent jurisdiction. Okay, Anderson, with all due respect, you're not the judge in this case. There's a judge out in California.
Yeah,
he's going to litigate the case there. You are litigating the case in the court of public opinion.
No, both.
Because that's the forum that you want to be in, and you're using this case for ulterior motives.
My favorite part of this is their commentator Jeffrey Toobin, who's usually a legal analyst for CNN, is stuck between these two attorneys, like kind of separating them, and he looks so uncomfortable. He's like, "Oh, what's happening here?"
Some fantasy criminal indictment. You don't know what you're talking about. It just keeps coming out of your mouth. You have no idea what you're talking about.
Interrupt.
Look at you laughing.
Let me just sort of cut through the testosterone that's cascading around me here.
It's cascading around Jeffrey Toobin there on the set of the CNN interview. That's going well. Everything seems to be working out just fine. And the Washington Post, because everybody's trying to get just a little nugget of information out of President Trump, on the Stormy Daniels thing. In fact, everybody wants a tweet, a Stormy Daniels tweet, like an early morning tweet storm more than anything. And the best or closest to that has been a tidbit from the Washington Post, which was President Trump says Stormy Daniels is not the type of woman he's attracted to, which is obviously a shot over the bow.
Okay.
And also probably not true, considering the payoff and many other things that make it pretty damn obvious that there was something going on there between the two of them.
Not the kind of person he's attracted to. So these two people both did not want to sleep with each other.
Yep.
Fate.
They were so unattractive.
Or the powers that be, the winds just blew them together. That might not be the right term.
Yeah, watch out. You got to be careful with that. But there are more and more people trying to get a tweet or some kind of comment out of the president. The other big fight is a bracket. And I know it's March Madness. Everybody's bracket focused right now. They're sporting it up like crazy. What's happening with the March Madness? Is it over?
No. Things are still happening.
Final Four?
Yes.
Or Elite Eight?
Final Four.
They have the most trademarks of anybody, I think. Because in an ad, you can't say March Madness. I don't even know if you could say the big game anymore. I think you could say the big game.
You could say the big game.
You can't say the Elite Eight. You can't say the big dance, I don't think.
The what?
Because that's
one of the things that they use. You can't say the Final Four for sure. You're not allowed to say that in any of these ads. They have trademarked like everything possible. Except the bracket that has everybody fighting has nothing to do with college basketball, NCAA sports of any kind, sports of any kind. It's a bracket going around that people are filling in themselves and then posting the results on social media, and it's a Disney movie and Pixar movie bracket.
Oh my gosh, the amount of trademarks on this list.
Yeah. Oh, for the basketball thing?
For NCAA.
Is the Big Dance one, or did I just make that up?
Let's see. The Big Dance is one?
Yes!
Let's see. I don't know what these little marks
about next
to me. The Big Boogie, you're fine. You're right. Good.
Cool. For now. Until they start taking that one.
Trademark.
Some of these are, because it's the NCAA and that encompasses more than just basketball, some of these are other, like, I don't know what the greatest show on dirt is.
Yeah, I've never heard anybody even say that.
Plus,
there's no dirt on a basketball court. A
lot of ones about road. The road ends here. The road starts here. The road to Dallas. The road to Frisco. The road to Houston. The road to Indianapolis.
Man.
The road to North Texas. The road to Omaha. The road to Phoenix. The road to the Final Four.
There is an art to doing an ad and talking about basketball and March Madness and then not saying any of those. You like, everybody's watching the sweat, the dribbling, the big game.
Nope.
Coming up soon. Big game. That's not on that list?
Big game is not on that list.
But big game is on the list for football.
No, the big game is the thing you can say.
Instead of Super Bowl.
Like, it's really, if we're talking about the Super Bowl or who's going to the Super Bowl or who played at the Super Bowl or what the Super Bowl halftime show was, we could say Super Bowl to the cows come home. It's when you're advertising your party or your bar as the Super Bowl destination.
Which people break this rule all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Every single year I see this kind of stuff. This bracket, though, is having arguments or creating arguments amongst friends all over the place as they march up all the movies, including this one. Lion King is one of the favorites. Many people have that in their final four or even in their victor in the Disney versus Pixar bracket. Newer movies like Coco, Brave, Toy Story 3 even makes an appearance. The Good Dinosaur, which nobody liked except for me.
I don't know what that is.
The Good Dinosaur, I had the rejoin from that song.
Oh, yes.
You always now made fun of me. Like, is that from the dinosaur movie? Making fun of me?
It's a great movie.
Yeah, it didn't make it past any of the... It's like a first-round loser in all the brackets I saw
so
about
So someone
this.
Already set up this bracket.
Somebody set up the bracket, then you're supposed to take it, fill it in, and then post it on social media, and then an uproar. Because somebody else will say, no, Toy Story 2 is not the best of all of those. The Incredibles is not the best of all. Whatever you choose. By the way, I'm going to say something, and I know this isn't going to land well. The Lion King doesn't hold up.
Okay, I want to go to commercial and throw up everywhere.
Rewatch.
The hell
it.
Are you talking
I
about?
I rewatched it the other day because they just for a limited time added it to Apple TV, and I go, I don't remember it being this boring. Maybe it's because I'm used to all the Pixar stuff now. I could watch a movie about a robot where Wally didn't even talk for the first 40 minutes. And I thought that was better. And I turned it on. I like Timon and Pumbaa as much as the next guy. Bored out of my mind watching that. Just bored. So that wouldn't even make it past the first round for me after that.
Well, let's print these out and figure it out.
I'll cut that off immediately, right at the beginning, and just move along with the other ones. But if you see that and you fill it out, prepare yourself. If you post it, you might start many a Facebook, Twitter or Instagram, wherever you're posting. You're going to start a fight somewhere on one of those social media platforms. When we come back, a couple that steals together goes to jail together, I guess. What this couple stole that started all this is pretty unbelievably terrible. The details on what they lifted next. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
You're listening to the News Junkie.
Junkie. Junkie.
Sean Wasson.
What are you doing in there, buddy? I think C-Lane has like a cooking show or something in the works. I don't know. Did you see what he was up to there, Sabrina?
No, he just came into my studio and asked to use the tripod, so...
Oh, yeah. No, he's got something going on. I walked in, and he was doing, like, smiles and taking bites of stuff. And he was posing for the camera. What do you got? Are you taking away Max's food tip of the day, Celine?
I'm just tasting
some...
What? she thinks Max died.
When's the last time we heard from him?
Yeah, it's been a while. No, actually, he's still phoning it in with just photos of terrible, terrible food that he sends through.
Yeah, there's been some real questionable material.
Stinkers, I think. What do you got there? What are you doing?
Yeah, what are you doing?
Oh, we're tasting the Sweets to Remember by Steph.
Oh.
The Stephanie Boyd, Orlando native, that has this dessert service that she does.
That strawberry I had, I'm not one for, like, chocolate-covered strawberry. That was awesome.
Well, yours was covered in, like...
I didn't even take the time to ask. I just ate it. I was like, this looks interesting, and there's chocolate on here, and it's a big old strawberry. It was absolutely awesome.
She does dessert tables for weddings, birthday parties, stuff like that, and she did. We had some chocolate-covered strawberries and some chocolate-dipped pretzels, stuff like that. All that stuff she's going to have out at the Big World Food Festival.
Yeah, this is going to be an awesome event, and if you go by some of the tables that you're hearing us talk about this week, make this one of them. Because she's talented, man. That was delicious. And there's a lot of different desserts that she's brought by today. You can not only hear people talking about food, which isn't all that great and exciting, I'm sure, but try it out yourself. Oh, when is this? It's Saturday, I think, right? It's a free event. That's
Saturday
right.
At Crane's Roost.
It's Saturday at Crane's Roost. It's called the World... Damn, I'm gonna lock this in by the end of the week. The World Food... Fiasco.
Festival.
The World Food Festival?
That's right. Presented by Hunter Vision.
And Fox 35. World Festival. WorldFoodFestivalFlorida.com.
All right. Go get all the information there. Thanks so much to her for bringing that by. That is absolutely awesome. And C-Lane's got some sort of show he's working on. I don't know if that ends up on Netflix or...
Probably not.
Just on social media.
Facebook and chill.
Yeah, well, all right. You'll make it to that level with this. I'm interested to see it because you were doing a whole thing in there. Now I can rant about something that needs to be shut down immediately. They need to put a stop to this. We've had conversations before about the goings-on in these sports stadiums around the country. And some of them are great. It's fantastic. They've taken away the gross hot dogs. They've brought in some fantastic food. And somewhere along the way, they went nuts with it. There's stuff like in Texas. They have this. Would you guys try this out? They have Texas brisket. Okay, that's a good start. That's been shredded and rolled up into balls and then dipped in funnel cake batter and deep fried. I mean, this is the intensity.
One more time?
It's Texas brisket.
Okay.
They shred that up.
All right.
They roll it into little balls, dip it in funnel cake batter, and deep fry the whole damn thing.
That sounds incredible.
It's indulgent, but I would go for that. I would be okay with it. It's the new one. It's the new item that they have unveiled at the Texas Rangers ballpark that has me upset and needs to be shut down immediately. The first problem I have is with the name. I don't like this trend. I heard some guy screaming it out yesterday when I was at a gas station. I want it to be over with. The dilly thing.
Oh.
The dilly dilly thing. Not a fan of the dilly dilly thing myself. And I think it's one of the worst. Is that Bud Light? I think it is, right?
Yeah.
The Bud Light. It's like the worst Bud Light one. I was all about when they were doing What's Up and then the frogs ribbiting and all the other things that they were doing. The dilly thing I'm not with. And the dilly dog I'm not with either. Here's what they're doing at Texas Ranger Stadium with the dilly dog. They take a dill pickle. They hollow out said dill pickle. They stuff a hot dog down the middle of the dill pickle. They cover that in cornmeal and deep fry it so it's a half hot dog, half pickle corn dog.
Oh, no, that sounds fantastic.
You would eat that?
Yeah.
I would not.
Not for me either.
I went to some sort of party or a gathering or somebody brought to people bring a dish. Oh, I'll bring a side dish, bring this. And somebody brought to this party, they took dill pickles and then wrapped them in ham,
okay,
and cream cheese.
I've had that before.
And then sliced them up.
Yeah.
That was I had like
that's good.
So many of those things.
Yeah,
I think that would be something that, like, you know, basically instead of ham you're having a hot dog and then you're putting it on a stick and corn dogging it up.
It's in a pickle shell though. Weird. You're biting through a pickle to get to a hot dog and you're biting through cornmeal before you get to the pickle. There are some things going on there beyond the terrible dilly dog name.
Now, I'm surprised they're going with the dilly dog name because you would think, going back to what we were just talking about, the trademarks, can you use dilly in something that's not? I thought when you said dilly dog, it was going to be something that's like cooked in Bud Light.
No, I wouldn't be surprised, though, if Bud Light might be on board with the stadium and they might be okaying this. Go for the dilly dog thing. It spreads the message a little bit more. That just seems a little bit too weird for me in particular. Excuse me.
Bless you. I think as you're trying to throw it up a little bit, the thought of it.
It's just a reaction. I don't generally eat during the show, and that's exactly why. And that delicious strawberry had me a little burp there. I apologize.
Aww.
Let's move on to the story that I talked about before the break, because this couple that has been arrested for stealing is really just unbelievably, unbelievably short-sighted, I guess. 37 years old is when you should know better, William Kennedy. 40-year-old Kara O'Neill right along with. What did they steal that has the entire world incensed? Well, they decided to steal a bunch of things from the Parkland shooting memorial site.
Okay.
When you think about bad ideas, you can go ahead and put that right on the top of the list. The duo stole teddy bears, pinwheels, and other tokens from the memorials of the Parkland shooting victims.
Why the hell would they do that?
I have no idea, but when they pulled this couple over, they saw this stuff in the back seat of the car. They were charged with suspicion of removing or disfiguring a tomb or a monument. Kennedy appeared in court Monday telling the judge the memorials weren't tombs or monuments. The judge disagreed and ordered a $1,000 bond. The Sun Sentinel Says there's some prior convictions, including delivering OxyContin, burglary, and assault on a Leo, or a law enforcement officer. Stealing from the Parkland Memorial site is a whole new level of low. Let's go to your dispatches very quickly. Here is Bacon and Eggs.
Sup, news junkies. Sean, hey. We got real-life cucks in the chat room. Oh, cucks God. In Orlando. Rick, I'm looking at you.
This is like are you on the team with the other guy? I saw some of the messages that are out there. You guys, take it easy. Be nice to one another in the chat room, please. It's just a nice share the show Tuesday. Not a fight everybody else and go after each other and talk about each other's wives Tuesday. Share the show Tuesday. A peaceful day where we all come together.
Do you believe in cucks after cucks?
And everybody is fighting and talking about cucks for some reason. Let's try to turn this around. Here is I Have an English Accent.
Sabrina.
Hmm.
Question. Jameson neat, Jameson with ice. Get back at me.
Jameson neat.
Jameson neat? That just means just no ice at all, and you're just drinking it warm.
Straight out of the bottle, but, you know, I could go with the Jameson on ice if I'm feeling crazy.
Can neat still be cold? Like, they put it in a shaker with ice, and then you don't get the ice when they pour it in your drink? Or is it always warm?
I feel like it would always be, I think neat is always warm.
I need
because
it would
be shaken at that point, wouldn't it?
Yes.
I'm not a bartender.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I ordered the same thing almost every time. Except for I've been throwing in curveballs with a Moscow Mule every once in a while.
Look at you.
So I'm digging. Let's go to Bro Villa.
Hey, Sean. Sabrina. Hey, guys. How you doing?
You okay?
What's wrong?
I'm not feeling so good. Oh, man. It's not feeling good.
That's bad.
Yeah, I sent that one in last week. That one actually worked out pretty good. So
he's faking it.
Was able to go to the beach, hang out for a bit, and this whole fake flu thing seems to go over pretty good.
Yeah, that's a bad idea.
Maybe you should try it.
You do the fake flu call, and you call out of work with the fake flu, and you maybe take a day or two off. Problem there is the flu really is going around, and then when you really get the flu, then what are you going to do, call it again? Oh, I got it again. Your boss is definitely not going to believe you.
Flu 2.
You can't have flu 2.
Flu part 2.
You have flu 1, and that's it.
Flu
and
2.
When you say flu 2 has arrived, that's when your boss knows you lied about flu 1. And then you're screwed. The whole thing is absolutely screwed. We'll do the next episode with Sabrina. When we come back, stay put. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Documenting and contributing to the decline in American culture. This is the News Journey.
Check out some of your dispatches in just a second, then the next episode with Sabrina. A brand new poll done by creditcards.com says 3 in 4 parents, 75% of parents with adult kids over the age of 18, help them pay not only debts, but their living expenses. 39% with kids over 18 pay their cell phone. 36% pay transportation, so like I guess the car or the car insurance. 24% pay rent. 21% pay utilities. And 20% pay the student loans. The student loans number is actually lower than I would think, but 20% pay their kids student loans, wrapping things up. These numbers are higher than they have been in a long time, and the unemployment rate for people like 18 to 25 or so is pretty rough off right now. There's a lot of people who in that area are, I mean, they're going to school, that's fine, but there is some of them who aren't. You know, they're out of school, they're done with that, and they're still not paying all their bills. They got parents footing the bill for a bunch of stuff. 75% of parents with kids over 18 still paying this
stuff.
That's crazy. I'm sure a lot of them are right at 18, 19, 20. I mean, that totally makes sense. You get too much further away from that, then it's like, okay. Here is Harper's Papa with a dispatch.
Dilly dilly dog me all day long, baby.
There's a bunch of people who want that thing for some reason. This guy, too.
No.
Send that dilly dog over here. That sounds delicious.
This thing is going to be a huge hit, and they're going to keep it forever if this is the reaction everybody has. Meanwhile, there's babies sending in dispatches.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, you junkies.
Oh,
hey.
Cute.
I just waited for
For...
What?
For Easter.
Oh, yeah.
It's peanut butter.
Peanut butter?
It's it.
Peanut butter or hit the button?
Hit the button.
There's some of that I didn't quite get, but thank you, baby, for sending in that dispatch. We appreciate it on a Share the Show Tuesday. Somebody has informed at least one baby about the program, and we'll take everybody, no matter how young or old they are.
Our baby numbers are they're good.
They're climbing right now.
Yeah.
The baby numbers are on the rise. Let's do the next episode.
Because there's a lot on TV, and you can't possibly keep up with all of it. Even though you should, because what else are you going to talk about?
Let me ride that donkey, donkey. Let me ride that donkey, donkey. Let me ride that donkey, donkey.
Nothing.
Weather's nice.
It's time for the next episode with Sabrina.
Hey. Are you ready for the next episode? 27 years ago, the year 1991.
Oh, man.
The tough guy in this group.
New Kids on the Block.
That is correct. And I'm talking about Donnie Wahlberg. He was arrested in Louisville, Kentucky.
Was he the bad boy?
He was. That's what they're saying in quotes here. He was arrested in Kentucky 27 years ago on arson charges. Do you guys know this story?
No.
Here's a little fun fact for you. He allegedly poured vodka on a hotel carpet and set it on fire.
All right.
Because New Kids on the Block
were
rock stars. He plea bargained it down to second degree criminal mischief. Also, a big celebration today. I know this affects a lot of people listening, maybe even people physically listening right now in front of me. But it was 20 years ago today, 1998, the FDA approved.
At the end of the day, I'm not a guy, I'm straight, 'cause she's my heart's
anybody?
Oh, Viagra.
Viagra is right.
I was like, what Boing. The hell?
That's right. 20 years, 21 years ago, you just had to hope for the best. But 20 years after that,
I forgot about it being with Viagra.
There must have been something out there before Viagra.
Pumps?
Maybe they were doing like all the weird stuff that the Japanese people do. They'll
Silicone.
Eat anything. Lions, genitals, whatever.
What?
Yeah, they go after weird stuff.
Eat a Ryan crotch.
Netflix is bringing back... I need to write that down before I continue. They're bringing back Queer Eye for a second season. Oh, that was Mike Pence's head exploding.
Oh, yeah.
Amy Schumer spoke on Saturday's March for Our Lives. She was very critical of the NRA, the Republican Party, and just out of habit, her thighs. Mm. So she's still doing it. This guy right here. Well, one of them.
Picture this. I'm a bag of... Put me to your lips.
Oh, ICP?
Nope. This is not ICP. This is... If you're not walking, you may be...
Running.
Running.
Run DMC.
Run the Jewels?
Run the Jewels is correct. Killer Mike has apologized after the interview he did with NRA TV that was published online, saying the video was misused against the March for Our Lives. Now, he, in the video, talks about what it means to be a black gun owner, why he's encouraging his daughter to learn how to use a gun, and I guess they took the opportunity, as you had said yesterday, to post that video at the same time as March for Our Lives with an intro that was not really agreed upon. Well, he issued a video apology on Twitter saying that he regrets that his words were used against the March for Our Lives.
How y'all doing out there?
Good, thank you.
There's a Senegalese proverb that says there can be no peace without understanding. So I took a move out of one of my heroes' book, Dr. Martin Luther King, the founder of Kingian Nonviolence, and I sat with people who I might not always agree with. I sat with a group called the National Rifle Association.
He's full of it.
I did an interview about black gun ownership in this era. That interview was used a week later by NRA TV to disparage a very noble campaign that I actually support. So I want to say first, I'm sorry.
He's lying.
Why is he lying?
He's lying because in the NRA interview, he said about the school walkouts, which were directly related to the protests over the weekend. He said, I told my kids, I love you, but if you walk out of the school and protest with those kids, don't come back home. Like this, he's lying afterwards because he got a bunch of heat for this. He made it very clear what he thought about that.
Well, it seems that he tries to explain himself. I did not see the NRA TV interview, so I can't attest to what he said in it. I'm just sharing the apology.
Like the idea that he's saying in that piece you just played, oh, I wanted to sit down with people who I disagree with. He's like trying to rewrite history afterwards.
Well, he said he did the interview to talk about the nuances regarding gun ownership for black people and gun ownership for others, explaining we always have to remember that in our allyship, we still have to make sure there are certain rights and demands that we make for us in our community. He addressed protesters and said of the interview this.
To the young people that worked tirelessly to organize, I'm sorry adults chose to do this. I'm sorry NRATV did that. I'm sorry that adults on the left and the right are choosing to use me as a lightning rod. What I want to encourage you guys to do is keep organizing. Keep organizing, keep organizing. Plot, plan, strategize, organize, and mobilize. This world was far different 30 years ago when you could buy a machine gun. And it's far different now, and it'll be different 30 years from now. We're willing to follow your lead. Lead the way. So I do support the march, and I support black people owning guns. It's possible to do both.
Mike's Run the Jewels partner, LP, released a statement about the controversy, saying he'll continue to work with Mike, but he wants to, and I quote, effing strangle him for making bad decisions. He also made it clear that he supports March for Our Lives protesters. Yeah.
They said here, this is from the Wikipedia after this whole thing. He also stated that he told his children if they participated in the national school walkout that he would expect them to leave the family home.
Okay.
I mean, you can't walk that back and just pretend like, oh, I totally supported what these kids are doing.
Well, you got both sides, I guess, decide from there. I, myself, have been sucked into the blind gossip tornado. Blindgossip.com. Now, those of you not familiar with blind gossip, basically it gives you stories of typically things happening in the entertainment industry without using any names.
Usually something very dramatic.
I got something solved.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes.
Well, because they've had some big stuff in this. Remember, way before, they were like, Hollywood A-lister has AIDS or HIV, and people were going, is that, Charlie Sheen comes up, and then it turns out to be true.
Well, blindgossip.com claims they've been telling everybody about this monster producer for years. It was Harvey Weinstein was to actors. This monster was to minor actors, children under the age of 18 that are on TV shows. They've been waiting for years for the Childish Network, which he closely is affiliated with, to take action against him for his chronic inappropriate behavior with young actors and actresses. Well, they say if he was only producing one show, it would have been a fast, easy call. However, he's got creative financial interests in multiple projects. They had to untangle him. Everybody knew everybody. So basically, he has now been fired with severance. But who is he?
Is it Brian?
Who is the monster?
It's not Brian Singer.
It is not Brian Singer. Now that he is gone, it's up to the children and their families to decide if and when they want to tell their individual stories, what kind of legal action they want to take.
So what are they saying? They're saying that this director abused kids in Hollywood, and they're trying to brush it under the rug.
Now, they say even the use of the word inappropriate is not meant to downplay the severity of the producer's behavior. His behavior was horrific, simply mindful of the fact that there are multiple minor children involved.
So who is this?
I found out.
Wait. Are you going to put some allegedlies in here, or are you 100%?
Allegedly.
Okay.
But it was, moments after that was posted, I find this article. Nickelodeon will no longer be working with producer Dan Schneider.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this has been a thing for a while. People talked about how creepy this guy was.
Creator of many of the network's major hits over the years, including iCarly, Drake and Josh, Victorious, Kenan and Kel, all that. From a statement released Monday, following many conversations together about new directions and future opportunities, Nickelodeon, longtime creative partner Dan Schneider have agreed not to extend the current deal. Now, that could be pursuing other opportunities and projects, or alternatively, you could look at the massive Twitter thread that has started with @DeludedKiss of how much of a pedophile creep, and this is what I'm quoting, with disgusting fetishes, who he is, and what really goes on behind the scenes. I couldn't even print it out because the printer here would not accept 30 pages worth of allegations.
For the parents out there, if you've watched Nickelodeon, you know the shows this guy's made. Zoe 101, all that, Victorious, iCarly, The Amanda Show, Drake and Josh, and something called What I Like About You. So this guy's worked with a lot of people.
And for many years. All that was from my time. And iCarly was later on. Victorious, I think, is a later show as well. So he's been doing it for decades. In addition to numerous reports of abuse, Schneider has also had well-documented temper issues for years. So, see ya later. Chrissy Teigen, this is what's been buzzing. She says she knows
Oh, God. I saw this all over the place yesterday.
Everyone is going nuts trying to figure out who bit Beyonce. As the weirdest Hollywood story you've heard this week continues, thanks to Tiffany Haddish partially spilling the beans in a new interview with GQ, someone revealed that a mystery actress on drugs bit Beyonce in the face. Now, while it sounds like Beyonce wanted to quietly handle it, everywhere, everyone's playing detective, including famous pal Chrissy Teigen. Says she cannot leave this plane without knowing who bit Beyonce's face. I only can think of one person. If it's that person, she is the worst. Well, it turns out the woman Teigen had in mind was wrong. She says the real person, I never would have guessed. If said too much. I'm never telling. I'm scared if said too much. Knowledge is a curse.
What the hell? Is somebody going to say who did this or no?
Well, it begs the question, who had the audacity to bite Beyonce? An investigation. The Cut was fortunate enough to put all these things together. The party was Inglewood after party. The people that were there, Rihanna, James Franco, French Montana, G-Eazy, Queen Latifah, Sarah Foster, Jen Meyer, Sanaa Lathan.
It was Queen Latifah.
Queen Latifah and Rihanna have been ruled out because they're friends, and why would you bite your friend in the face and tell Tiffany Haddish to stop dancing?
I've seen people bite other people in the face, and they were friendly moments before.
They say, consider this, another name rolling around, Jennifer Lawrence, who looks to have been in New York City at the time, but thanks to Vulture, they have cleared J-Law's name because there are pictures of her trying to get in Darren Arunfunsky's pants. Sanaa Lathan, I have no idea who she is, but she was definitely at the Jay-Z concert, as evidenced by her on Twitter. Lathan was spotted with French Montana, who is friends with Beyonce and Jay-Z, so she was probably at that party. Well, Sarah Foster, who could be seen on, I believe, the CW's 90210 and VH1's Barely Famous, has addressed the Beyonce bite accusation, denying it. Tiffany Haddish hasn't confirmed the story, but has cleared Taraji P. Henson's name, saying that Taraji P. Henson from Empire... It's a woman.
No, I'm sorry. Never thought it was Beyonce.
Him. After many hours, Sanaa Lathan responded saying, y'all are funny. Under no circumstances did I bite Beyonce. If I did, it would have been a love bite.
Well, do they know who did it?
The mystery continues. Was it Becky with the good teeth? We may never know. That's all I got. The name will be released.
You don't have a conclusion?
I have a source that I'm working on.
Well, she's got a...
clearing the people in the party one by one.
She's going to, you know, go down the stairs into the parking garage and get in the car and, you know, start the engine.
Shut your mouth.
And she's going to head and do investigation.
All right.
What the hell did I get myself into? Now, the girl who broke the story, just a little fun tidbit, and maybe we have to just revisit the fact that we're using her as a credible source. Tiffany Haddish also told GQ that she recently had started taking turpentine for her health.
Of course, yes, one does.
A teaspoon of turpentine will not kill you, she says. That's the government good. Just doesn't want you to know that if you have a cold, just taking some turpentine with some sugar or honey will make it go away the next day.
Like a spoonful of sugar.
Also claimed the 19th century slaves took turpentine because they didn't have access to medical care. Says that she's been learning about these benefits from the greatest doctor of all time. That's YouTube.com. Now, it's possible Tiffany was joking. The GQ writer insists that she seemed very sincere. And may I just repeat this? Don't drink turpentine because it's actually poisonous very bad for you.
Not good for you.
I only have time for a couple more. A live-action series based on this is headed to a TV near you. Anybody?
I don't know.
Not sure.
Hey, yeah.
Karate Kid.
I'm on a road, and I am physically attacking somebody.
Road Warrior.
Street Fighter.
Street Fighter.
Right. Street Fighter fans, you're getting a new live-action TV series. Fire off the fireball and scream, Hadouken! I didn't play the game. Hadouken! Is that it?
That's C-Lane doing.
It's not Fatality. That's Mortal Kombat.
No, yeah, that's the Street Fighter one.
Street Fighter's before that.
Where he shoots the fire out.
Hadouken! Hadouki! They started collaborating with the production team behind Street Fighter Assassin's Fist, a web series that debuted in 2014. And now the team is bringing it to the TVs, at least according to Entertainment One, a production company. Now, their credits are Saving Private Ryan and Grey's Anatomy. So get ready for some medical Army drama.
Ooh.
I have no idea. TV show will be based on Street Fighter II, the World Warrior storyline, which came out in 1991. And finally, you can buy the house that this was filmed in.
And I'll execute every motherfucking last one of you.
Give me a mini heart attack. Pulp Fiction.
That is correct.
And I'll execute every motherfucking last one of you.
Another heart attack.
Looking for real estate in the A18 area code with a garage perfect for detailing messy cars that you just killed somebody in? Then do I have the house for you? Home in Los Angeles that was featured in Pulp Fiction on sale now. $1.395 million for 4,200 square feet and a shovel ready to begin construction or burying bodies. Could be yours. On the Boob Tube, the one-hour premiere of Roseanne, 8 p.m. on ABC, The Zen Diaries of Gary Shandling Part 2 on HBO, third season finale of Baskets on FX, and you can catch the 10th season premiere of Tosh.0, 10 p.m. on Comedy Central. Have a great Tuesday, Jodes, and remember...
smoke weed every day.
Live trivia when we come back. If you'd like to play, 407-916-1041 or toll-free 1-888-978-1041. Get the app ready to go. Everybody else around the world is going to play along on the app. Answer quickly and get on the scoreboard. 407-916-1041 or toll-free 1-888-978-1041. Live trivia up next with the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Your next chance to win $1,000 is just minutes away on Real Radio 104.1. Because the newspapers don't come with cliff notes or potentially offensive accents. This is the News Junkie.
'Cause I'm a mess sometimes, but I could always be whatever you want to say, but not what you need, and especially when you need me.
Live trivia. In just a second, last night out of nowhere, and I think they did this as a test or something, HQ Trivia did a $100,000 prize, and I thought there'd be more people, but I think they were just sort of figuring things out. And you think, all right, well, $100,000 is splitting it amongst all these people. Four people won last night.
Oh,
so
damn.
$25,000 apiece. Not bad at all. And I think they gave them a pair of Nikes or something weird like that. It was because it was all sponsored by Nike. The big one is tomorrow, though, for that $250,000. Which would be pretty crazy to watch. Let's do live trivia.
Get ready for live trivia with the News Junkie. You can play along with the News Junkie smartphone app.
Right. What?
Unless you don't have it, in which case get it at thenewsjunkie.com or call 407-916-1041. Toll free 888-978-1041. Good luck.
It's live trivia for a Tuesday, March 27, 2018. In front of me, seven questions. These are things we talked about on the show yesterday. Items in the news, that good stuff. You're going head-to-head on the phones and on the News Junkie app. Good luck over there as you are started and away right now. Let's get some players. Let's see here. Lisa, are you there?
I am.
All right, there we go. Lisa is ready to go against Casey. Are you there, Casey?
I am.
All right, Lisa and Casey are players in live trivia today. The best of luck to both of you, starting with question number one. Wendy's has fresh beef with Burger King and McDonald's, but this time they're not just tweeting about it, they're rapping about it in a new mixtape that dropped last Friday. What's the mixtape called? Is it All Fries on Mickey D, Straight Out of the Frozen Aisle, We Beefin', or License to Beef? Lisa, go ahead.
We Beefin'.
All right, Casey?
Same.
Number two, a shooting survivor was in the middle of delivering a powerful speech at the March for Our Lives in Washington, D.C. Then all of a sudden, this happened. Did she faint, projectile vomit, lit up a doobie, or burned a copy of the Constitution, Casey?
Projectile vomit.
Lisa?
Same.
Number three, a new study claims that babies not only prefer, but also learn new words more easily when parents switch into baby talk, a mode of communication known to linguists as this. Do they call it motherese, babanian, goo-gaganese, or infantish? Lisa?
The first one.
Casey?
First one.
On to number four, a Fort Myers woman named Karen Cooper was ready to go out on a limb and save her beloved, so she got married to this. Did the woman marry a Confederate statue, a chainsaw, a giant ficus tree, or a prosthetic leg? Let's see. I'm sorry. It is your turn, Casey.
The ficus tree.
Lisa.
Same.
Number five, there's a new mobile app that for a fee promises to direct tourists and other assorted weak bladders to the nearest available bathroom in New York City. What is the app called that makes your way to the bathroom easier? Is it the Poo Poo app, Snapcrap, HQBM, or the Lulu app? Go ahead, Lisa.
The Lulu app.
Casey.
Same.
Just two left. Number six, the New Zealand Herald is reporting. A man told a woman that he had been coerced to drink a poisonous toxin and would die within 48 hours unless this happened. And it did happen. Did he want her to send the poisoner a nude pic? Did she have sex with him? Did she give him $500,000 cash? Or did she let him breastfeed? Casey.
Let him breastfeed.
All right, Lisa.
Have sex with him.
The final question. Yesterday, we learned the vending machine was invented in the first century. In an exchange of a coin, it dispensed this. Did that give out holy water, red wine, a loaf of bread, or lambskin condoms? Lisa.
Oh, say that again. I'm sorry.
Was the very first vending machine with holy water, red wine, a loaf of bread, or lambskin condoms?
Holy water.
Casey.
Same.
All right, there we go. Casey was cracking up, having a good time there. But was he victorious? That's the real question. Lisa and Casey battling it out in live trivia today, but there can only be one true winner. Are you ready to go through these, Sabrina?
Oh, yeah.
Number one, Wendy's mixtape. What's it called?
Both the players, Lisa and Casey, said we beefin', and that answer was McWright.
Number two, a shooting survivor did this during her speech.
Casey and Lisa both said she projectile vomited, and that answer was...
Number three, a study claims that babies not only prefer but learn more when you baby talk to them. What do they call that?
Both the players said motherese, and that answer was so right, baby.
Number four, a Fort Myers woman was ready to go out on a limb and save her beloved, so she got married to this.
Casey and Lisa both said a giant ficus tree, and that answer was right.
Number five, there's a new mobile app that brings you to the bathroom. What's it called?
Lisa and Casey both said Lulu app, and that answer wasn't crappy.
They're doing pretty well right now.
On fire.
I mean, they are on fire. If this was NBA Jams, they would be saying, you're on fire to both these players. But now we get down to the nitty-gritty. Number six, a man told a woman, I've been forced to drink poison. You must do this. And she did.
Casey said, let him breastfeed. And that answer... incorrect, Casey. Lisa said, have sex with him. And that answer was right.
Lisa pulls into the lead for the final question. Number seven. Yesterday we learned the very first vending machine had this inside.
Lisa and Casey both said holy water.
Uh-oh.
And that answer was right. We do have winner of live trivia with a perfect score. That's Lisa.
Good for you. All right, Lisa, you're the winner of live trivia today. Hang on tight. We are going to get your information, set you up with a prize of your choosing. We'll take a look at the scoreboard in the app in just a second. What do we have for prizes, Celia?
Sneak peek time. I have a pair of passes to the advanced screening of Blockers on Tuesday, April 3rd at AMC Altamont, where three friends plan the night of their lives. What they didn't plan on was their parents. From the producers of Neighbors and the screenwriter of Pitch Perfect, Universal Pictures presents Blockers, the hilarious new film critics are calling heartfelt, delirious, ranchy, and the year's first truly great comedy. In theaters, April 6th, rated R. You'll get
ranchy?
That.
Ranchy?
It's supposed to be raunchy. Oh. I think it's supposed to be deliriously
it's
raunchy.
It's not blue cheesy, are you sure?
It says delirious ranchy.
I was like, who uses ranchy as a compliment?
It says delirious ranchy.
All right.
Which I like better because yeah. I really don't want to go out of my way to see it if it were blue cheesy.
Sometimes I think I'm getting older and maybe this is a new hip word the kids are saying. They're like, man, that is raunchy as hell, man.
Hilariously raunchy, something like that. I also have a pair of tickets to the Orlando Science Center, which Sabrina and I are going to later today.
Nice.
To experience Mindbender Mansion. You can give your brain a workout with the mind-blowing brain teasers of Mindbender Mansion only at Orlando Science Center. We'll tell you more about it tomorrow, but info right now is at osc.org.
Now, out of the two of you, who do you think is better at mind-bending puzzles?
Depends at what time in the afternoon.
Yeah, I used to do them more often to try and keep the mind muscle, you know, flexing.
It's like working out your brain.
Like I used to do Sudoku a lot. I felt like that was kind of a thing that made it made some neurons fire.
Yeah, like if you guys were on Survivor together, who would be the one who did the puzzles? Is the question here. Because that's the person who's going to be victorious today.
We'll see.
Yeah, may have to be something we decide later on today.
We'll see how that works out. That's going on at the Orlando Science Center. They always have something cool happening over there. Thanks to them, big friends of the show. Also, thanks to Nations Trucks and NationsTrucks.com, where if you are in the market for a truck, you need to go. Mm-hmm. That's NationsTrucks.com. Let's take a look at the scoreboard.
At the top spot with the lead for the week, Testicular Manslaughter has 1,375 points, followed by username, Laserblade, Smelly Primate, Matty Hatter, Ask Holio, Fancy Nancy, the Dita, Panta J. Loon, and Blue Ninja 7, which is a newer name to the live trivia scoreboard. At the back five, C-Lane's Ninnies, Just the Tip, Emily, King Kabuta, and Swilly.
There better be new names on there because it's all I can do walking around my house right now to not open up and play with the prize for the live trivia winners on there. I want to so bad. These
just
little,
try it out.
They're like miniature battle bots, and I feel like if I open it up, then it's going to be mad.
The minute you open it up, you're going to have to get a new one.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, and it's so tempting right there. So if you're playing along in the app, not only did you get an Amazon gift card, but you get the BattleBots prize bonus. They have $250,000 on Trivia HQ or HQ Trivia. Fine. We have BattleBots.
Aha. Uh-huh.
The next best thing I've
seen. Suck it, Scott.
Take that. When we come back, the Chinese Space Lab is getting closer and closer and closer to crashing into planet Earth. Where will it hit is the big question scientists are trying to figure out right now. Some new information coming in just moments ago. Details very soon. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
A safe haven of sorts for all of the 95%ers. This is the News Junkie. Right now. Right now.
Over me. Just a quick note to Brevard County. Everybody in Brevard County, you should be embarrassed. You should just be absolutely and totally embarrassed of this new giraffe that everybody in Brevard is apparently proud of. They're all celebrating this birth of the baby giraffe, which didn't get nearly as much coverage as the whole April the giraffe thing. Remember when that was a thing?
Yeah, and then everyone watched the live birth and realized, hey, maybe that's not something we want to sit around the TV and watch anymore.
How long were we waiting for that whole thing, Sabrina, for April the giraffe? Was it
weeks?
Weeks? Months?
Possibly. And then everyone was just like watching this live stream, and then the rumors were like, it's happening now, it's happening now. Then the live stream gets shut down. And then there it was Saturday morning, 8 o'clock, watching Afterbirth spill out of April. And I said, I don't want to watch this.
It's significant. And what you realize is baby everything, all right? Baby everything is ugly. Every little newborn baby on planet Earth is ugly. Now, you take them away and you shine them up, and I'm not taking it away from you, parents. They're adorable little things. And so are the animals. But immediately after they're born, babies are hideous. And this is like everything out there. And this giraffe is no exception. So Brevard County should be embarrassed of the new baby giraffe. And mostly because of this video, which C-Lane's putting up right now on See It Now in the News Junkie app. The video, they did this big like release video. Who's this from? Let me see. Hold on. Let me see who posted this actual.
Reuters.
Was it from Reuters?
They
gave this video to Reuters, this massive news organization, and it shows the giraffe's first steps here. Let me see. I'll send this to you, Sabrina, so you can see this as C-Lane's putting it up in the app. And I'm just saying, Brevard County, you got to do better than this. You should distance yourself from this giraffe. There it is. I sent it to your Gmail. That's an embarrassing way to enter the earth. This thing plopped out of its giraffe mom and was sitting there, like kind of figuring out life, and went for the first step.
Oh, it took a little tumble.
He went for the first step. And that first step was representing you, Brevard. And that first step was a bam, a face plant tumble.
Oh.
Take a look at this. It is a fantastic little video.
Cute.
It's on the See It Now section of the News Junkie app. They're happy over there. They're clapping and celebrating this new giraffe.
Well, they must know it then.
Yeah, it takes a little while, I think, for this one to catch on. Did they mention the name? I didn't see a name.
It's not named yet.
What? You gotta name these animals.
Oh, I mean, it's
maybe they're taking it to the town.
It's sticking in the backstage area for a while. It's not ready for people to see them yet. You know, they're still cleaning all the giraffe goo off of them.
And you don't want to, just to get ahead of that, you don't want to let the public name it. It's going to be Giraffy McGiraffe Face or something stupid. And if you don't do that, you're going to give the public like three choices. And they're not going to be good ones. Just have a little meeting, a little powwow. All the people who are going to be working with this animal for a very long time get together, and they get to name it, and bam, that's it. Some of these animals are hideous. It's like the one, where was that baby hippo? That was at the Orlando Zoo, I think, right?
Was it?
That was at Animal Kingdom. The baby hippo, a hideous-looking little thing. These animals need a little while.
You find any animals cute?
I think animals are adorable, but they take a little while to get there. Brand new animals are like, oh my God, they're a mess. They're still trying to figure things out. They don't have a long timeline to work on. Let's go to the other end of life for just a moment. When you are in your later years, do you want to be at like an assisted living facility? Do you want to be like living with your kids in the back of their house? What would you want your end days to be like, Sabrina?
Now, these are end days in which I cannot take care of myself.
Yeah, you're old at this point.
Honestly, I don't want to get to that point. If I had to pick between the two, assisted living. But a good assisted living.
Nice one.
I want a week trial so that I know nobody's throwing around my geriatric body and ignoring me while I, you know, stare at the wall. I want to make sure that I'm eating right. I know this from experience with my grandmother's.
Buffet at the nice ones.
We had to move my grandma to like four different places because she was not pleased with the food.
Well, she was not happy with the food they were serving?
It was terrible.
Did you see the food?
I didn't see it. I just heard her complaints about it. I'm like, well, you must be right, grandma, because you never complain about anything.
Well, at this nursing facility or assisted living facility, they have a totally different problem. The food may be fantastic for all I know. But in Fayette, Iowa, three more former employees at a Northeast Iowa care facility are accused of having sex with the patients there.
Alrighty.
That's five employees at this assisted living facility now accused of having sex with the patients who, as you could guess, are either very old or sometimes you'll have at these assisted living facilities younger people with severely disabled issues that prevent them from living on their own. Five people having sex with them. The five are accused of sleeping with patients while working at Prairie View Residential Care Facility between 2015 and 2016. They care for patients with chronic mental illness, intellectual disabilities, or medical conditions. Why would they be doing this? And not just one of them, but why would all five of them be involved in this?
I don't know.
It's a really weird situation. Hang on, more details right here from the local affiliate.
A total of five former employees are accused of having sex with patients at a care facility in Northeast Iowa. All five are charged with sexual exploitation by a counselor or therapist. The five are accused of having sex with patients while working at Prairie View Residential Care Facility in the town of Fayette between the years of 2015 and 2016.
How weird.
That facility cares for patients with chronic mental illness, intellectual disabilities, or for medical conditions.
Some of these people are bedridden. They're bedridden and they are having sex with them. So the investigation started in February when two court-ordered patients went missing from the facility, leading authorities to discover the patient's relationships with the nursing assistants. And they found out that not one, not two, but five of these women were having sex with the patients while working at the facility. Just very, very odd. Let's talk to Barbara. Go ahead, Barbara.
That's more like a nursing home facility, because ALS, you have to be able to really kind of do for yourself.
Okay, so if it's a ALS, like an assisted living facility,
That's for people who really can, like, move more, get up, feed themselves, go out like on their own.
You've got some sort of independence.
Yes.
So you're saying...
You can have a car.
You're saying this would be even worse because the people are completely dependent on these women.
Yeah, that's more like a kind of a nursing home facility more.
You work at one of these places, Barbara?
I used to work in a nursing home. Never. I work for hospice. I would never work in another one.
Yeah.
Now, did you, at any time when you were working in that industry, see things along these lines?
No.
No. Nobody had
sex. And I've been doing this for 29 years. Never.
Yeah. I mean, I can't figure out why or why this would occur or what the hell would be happening here. Thank you.
If it was a regular ALS now, these are patients that can consent because they have their own mind.
Yeah.
That's something different.
You know, I always heard that. My mom even told me about that. She worked at an assisted living facility, Barbara. During your time doing this stuff, did you see that to be true, that there's a lot of people, they might be older, they might be in one of these facilities, but they're still having sex with each other?
Yes.
Yeah. There's a lot of that. And you always end up with this story about, like, STDs running rampant through these places. Why these women, though, were targeting these people and having sex with them or doing whatever. I mean, it says sexual exploitation, and that's a charge, too. Sexual exploitation by a counselor or a therapist, and that's what they're charged with. God, it seemed weird enough when there were two that were dealing with this. And these women are young, too. 23-year-old.
Is it all women?
I believe so, yeah. 23-year-old Paige Lynn Joningmeyer was one of the first arrested. 26-year-old Megan Marie Penny. Then Carolyn Marie Weidrich, 44. Shelby Mariah Sebring, 24. And Jamie Lee Pagel, 32. A lot of these women are younger, and they, quote, had sexual relationships with patients while working at the facility, which is a pretty incredible news, I'm sure, for the parents, the loved ones, siblings.
Seriously.
You go, oh, we've got them over here. Everything should be fine. They're taken care of. And that's one of those big things. You would hope that when you get to that age, that there'd be no issues, that you're well taken care of, that nobody would ever do anything wrong. And in many cases, that just does not happen to be the case. Oh, I guess he would. Would he know about this? I guess he would.
Right side Scott.
Yeah, right side Scott, go ahead.
Hey, yeah, leave these nursing homes alone. If they're having sex, that's just good caregiving.
Oh,
I had sex relations with one lady there at the nursing home I was in. That was happy.
No, you didn't. You had sex with a nurse who was taking care of you?
I didn't have sex. I didn't have actual sex, but I had sex relations.
And so you're saying she did something to you?
Yes.
With her hand?
And others, yes.
And other things?
And how did you, how'd you get that situation started?
Well, we just clicked. Yeah, we really got along very well. I really cared a lot for her. She cared for me, so it was pretty well just...
Well, last time we talked to you, right side Scott,
I'm a loving guy, I guess.
You were telling us about this fake date that you were going on. How'd the fake date go?
It went wonderful.
Really? I mean, this woman's married that you were going out with.
Yes.
You said she was your nurse.
Yeah, she's my private nurse. She works has her own business, and I use her to my assistant.
So what? Did anything happen?
I did not catch.
No.
No, of course not. And no, I'm not trying to have anything with like that, a relationship like that right now. I mean, I like her a lot. It's a person. She's very good to me. And in fact, she's taken interest in me. She's helped me get my doctor's appointment set up, all my arrangements for transportation set up.
Sounds like the friend zone.
And she's also talking to a...
She's doing her job.
Well, no, she's actually taken a personal interest in me, and she's really done a lot more than she really should.
It's like right side's got going, yeah, I went to the oil change place, and I think they were all in love with me. They took my car, and they drained the oil out and put a new oil filter.
It's exciting to have a crush, Sean.
And then I got, like, a receipt afterwards. I think they had a crush on me. There was something happening there. This is not nice to do. I get it that you want to go, oh, that's a great service for them. There are services like that, though. Have you guys ever seen, I think it's bigger in Asian culture. No. There are specific health workers that go to people who are wheelchair bound or otherwise dependent on getting care from somebody, and they give them manual stimulation with their hands until they achieve orgasm, as a service.
Yeah, okay. I think we've talked about this before.
It's a thing.
Well, you know, people have callings.
I think it might even have been paid for by the government.
We talked to one of the prostitutes.
Who did that? Oh, I don't remember that. I mean, it could be the case. But
that would definitely be best off.
Yeah. I mean, that's a weird, weird situation, but only surpassed by this. So, yeah, we've got five total employees, many of them women in their 20s, some in their 30s and 40s, who had sexual relationships with these patients. And they don't detail exactly what was wrong with them, whether they were mentally handicapped or it was a physical ability that they were limited in. They say, though, that the women were engaging in not only sex, but it says sexual relationships, as if this went on and on and on between the women who were supposed to be caring for these people and the people the people who they were caring for, I guess you would say. Don't forget, subscribe to Secret Shows. You can do that right this very second. You get yourself a magnet and a sticker and access to the uncensored shows right there on the app. They're waiting for you right now. Why not check it out? Where do you do that? Well, use your app information and go to GetSecretShows.com. Back in just a moment with Jury Duty. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Real Radio Orlando on Facebook. Brought to you by Seacoast Bank. See why local is better by visiting SeacoastBank.com. Better by all accounts since 1926. Member FDIC. Download the app and earn a badge that matches your corrupt soul. The News Junkie. I push and you tend to shove on. Give in and you don't give up. I'm not getting out of here this time. I brought a lemon to a knife fight.
Jury Duty. And just a bit, speaking of badges, as the intro mentioned, all these people who email all the time... you're not getting these custom badges you're asking for. I know you want the custom badges in the app, and we'll get better at giving those away from time to time. There's just a lot of work in the next app update that's kind of distracting me on that. But there was somebody, I think it was when we were doing our broadcast at Universal last time, somebody sent an email. They're like, hey, Sean, I just wanted to ask for some custom badges for the News Junkie app. Can I get this one and this one? And they asked for like three or four. And then they went into all the detail in the world, like do this with this and then Photoshop this into this. And then what are you talking about? Not going to do that. It's just going to have to happen for you.
I can give you a llama badge and that's about it.
Yeah, llama badge. Bam. Hit a button. You got your llama badge. I think the person who did that ended up with an ASCII badge. But don't think that if you do that, too, you're going to get an ASCII badge. That all becomes just troublesome when you really start to think about how this whole process works. More badges headed your way soon, though, for those of you who are playing along and have the News Junkie app all downloaded and ready to go. And hello again to the folks in the News Junkie chat room. That's always going in there, always very weird. And I guess some sort of fighting going on as of late. Let's go to these dispatches. Here is that guy with a dispatch.
What up, News Junkie crew? I wanted to talk about the March for Our Lives that was brought up yesterday, and a possible solution for school shootings that was found in Secret Shows of all places.
Really?
You see, in the episode How Much is a Roller Coaster, the owner and operator of Fun Spot talks about the security protocols that they have in place, and that there are cameras everywhere that have facial recognition software.
I think that's pretty common. Most of these places have this at this point in time, and it's getting cheaper and cheaper to do that. So most places like that have all that security.
Tell them how often you've been to the park, what rides you like to ride, what games you like to play, what food you like to buy, how often you use the bathroom. In the instance of a person who has been banned from property, security is automatically notified before they have a chance to get to the front gate, giving security enough time to neutralize the threat before it becomes a problem.
All right, I see what you're saying. Put that in place at these schools. I think the problem would be it's rather expensive to do, and would it solve any of these problems? We'll see. I mean, I'm sure people have thought about that and discussed that. At Universal Studios, if you get banned, like if you get kicked out, which I've never been kicked out, Thank God. But if you get kicked out of Universal Studios, do they attach it to your fingerprint? So next time you go through that whole entrance process and you do the finger scan, they're like, bang, and you're banned from the park?
I would think so, because I don't know what other way they'd be able to figure out that you've been banned before.
They've got
to
run it through some sort of system, I guess. I bet they do it that way. And the security at those places is even more intense. Here's I'm Not a Hippie.
Yo, good morning, junkies.
Morning.
I just want to say I had a great time last night celebrating my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Even though I was still a little sick, but I still had a great time. Thanks for all the people that came out and celebrated with me. We tore up downtown last night. And I enjoyed myself, and for the first time, I'm not hungover, so
good
that's a pretty good feeling after your birthday. But anyways, just want to say thank you guys again. Hippie out.
There you go. That's positivity. I like that. Over to Rusty.
In regards to the teacher having sex with the student thing, I think it's just completely different between men and women. I remember when I was in school, not just myself, but very many other male students would playfully flirt with, you know, attractive female teachers, and it was kind of just acceptable. Whereas if a male teacher had ever began to flirt with a female student, man, we would have, you know, alerted every authority possible.
That seemed
but,
weird.
Like I said, as young guys, it just seems to be acceptable to flirt with your female teachers, and that's just kind of always been a thing. I don't know. Maybe that separates things a little bit. Maybe it doesn't.
I don't know that acceptable. I mean, that's definitely something, like, if you are going to pass at a teacher and... that's
yeah. What are we talking about when we're saying flirt? Is the question. Like, I mean, if some kid's like, "Hey, I'm gonna bring you home and bang you," or like gets graphic with the language, I don't think that that's just kind of acceptable.
No,
to throw that out there. It depends on where the line is drawn. The more interesting question is, why does this seem to be? And I don't know if the numbers bear this out, but why does it seem to be that these women in their 20s and 30s are always the ones in these situations? Or are they just the ones getting caught? Or is it just getting much more media attention? I think I've seen some information that says it's not the case that it's just about media coverage. They do get more coverage when it comes to, like, the attractive teacher and the young student. Of course, it's sexy. Everybody's going to run with that. But that would be the really interesting thing, which is why I'm amazed there's no documentary. At least I haven't seen one that dives into this whole teacher-student sex thing. Here's Nail Wright.
So the last time I tried to call into sick when I wasn't really sick, I used to work at Lowe's, and I got a job doing an irrigation install.
Of course.
It was like midweek. It was the only day they could do it. So I went ahead and accepted the irrigation job, and I called out of work a couple days, seeing I would make more money in about 2 days than I would the whole entire week or two I worked at Lowe's. But the problem is, I gave my brother my discount card to go get supplies, because I couldn't, of course, go into work and buy stuff. They would see me. So they found my brother. They knew who he was, and they got him on camera buying everything. So I ended up going into work the next couple days after the job was done and got called in the office. And
of course
they let
you
me
did.
Go. So they were cool about it. Funny thing is, they offered me the job back after about a month.
Oh.
But, yep, doesn't work out all that well sometimes.
Thank you, Nail Wright. I really, truly appreciate that story. Let's go ahead and do jury duty.
Court is now in session, so put your phone down and pay attention before we call the bailiff over to whip your ass. You're now on jury duty with the News Junkie.
Jury duty brought to you by the one and only, the indisputable, the fantastical, the above and beyond DeWitt Law Firm. There you go. The DeWitt Law Firm can indeed help you out with your case. They help out people all the time. Moses DeWitt and the team over at the DeWitt Law Firm always going up against the insurance companies and helping people just like you out. So you've been in a bad accident. I mean, C-Lane had a photo of somebody whose day started off exactly like that.
Yes, it did.
And when you've been in a bad accident and you've hurt yourself, and you got to worry about not just the present time and getting better, but the future down the road. Act quickly, get yourself an attorney, and make sure you're not trying to go at this alone or going to some law firm where they're going to push your case to the side. So DeWitt Law Firm, that's where you go. DeWittLaw.com, 1-800-DeWittLaw. That's the number you can call. And remember, you can also text it. So if you get in an accident, just take a picture and go, "Moses, this happened. I need your help." send that over to 1-800-DEWITT-LAW or send your questions, whatever legal questions you have, to ask, ASK, at DeWittLaw.com. A woman in Billings, Montana.
Yeehaw!
Lisa Christine Walter is her name. And at 37 years old, she had a hell of a day recently. You see, she drank half a bottle of whiskey, which, you know, that'll get you drunk.
Mm-hmm.
Get you pretty hammered. She then drove to a Billings business to get herself some marijuana to step things up a little bit.
Now, you say business because this is what they sell often?
Yeah, I believe so. Wait, hold on. Is marijuana legal in Montana? Montana is ahead of us on this? We're dragging our feet. Montana has cruised past us, if that's the case. I hadn't heard that they did. Maybe it's some other place, but it says a Billings business to get marijuana. And she showed up at this place.
Yeah, I guess it was medical marijuana passed in the law 2004.
Oh, yeah, it's a place called Grow World. So if they're doing it against the law, they're not being real good at hiding things. Lisa Walter appeared in a Yellowstone County Justice Court on Monday on a felony criminal mischief charge, an aggravated DUI, a second offense, a misdemeanor. They set her bond at $10,000. Here's what she did. When she was all hammered, it was 9 a.m. on a Friday.
I've been hammered at a lot of different times. I don't think 9 a.m. I mean, even on my, like, stay up latest of nights, yeah, 9 a.m.
You're crashing out before that, and that means you're waking up early and getting started, and you're drunk at 9. Well, they found her drinking. She's sitting in her car when they arrested her. She's drinking more whiskey out of a measuring glass because I guess that's the only cup that she had. And her blue Honda Civic is crashed through this weed store. Because when she found out that they were not open and she couldn't get her weed, she grabbed a baseball bat, started smashing all the windows.
Oh, my God.
Drove her car into the place, and she said she was going to teach them a lesson for not being open. She was agitated that she couldn't buy marijuana because it was closed. She has a medical marijuana card, but they said that they were not open there. She learned the lesson herself, I hope. She had a 0.13% BAC, which is pretty low blood alcohol content, considering all things. Legal limit, 0.08. She's in some trouble today. Back in just a moment with a new solution to help out teachers in the state of Florida. Will this work? Are teachers even interested in doing this? That's the kind of stuff we'll hash out next. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Your next chance to win $1,000 is just minutes away on Real Radio 104.1. Filling in the gaps between the New York Times and World Star. This is the News Junkie.
Well, I've said many times, I think teachers are way underpaid. I think teachers are amazing in many cases in terms of what they'll put up for that low pay. And I think it's never been a more difficult time to be a teacher. Hell, I mean, there's stuff in the news now about, like, if you want to be a teacher, do you have to have a weapon in the classroom? If you want to be a teacher, you're generally going to be derided by parents who probably raise terrible kids that are hellions you have to deal with every single day. Lots of stuff like this. But the big thing is just that we don't value these people enough. And they end up, even on a low salary, having to fork out money to pay for supplies. God forbid they want to be a teacher that is creative and, like, do some fun assignments that require them to purchase stuff for everybody in the classroom. That gets expensive. So they found some new ways to deal with this. Because teachers in certain cities have it a lot worse than teachers in others. And that may sound like a simple, obvious point, but what most people don't factor in is how expensive it is to live in places like, say, Miami, for example. And the rent in Miami is crazy in some of these cities. And the teachers who get there, it's not like they get a gigantic jump in pay because of where they live. And Miami authorities go, "We've got a solution. Eureka. We figured it all out." This proposal includes constructing a new mid-rise middle school in the Brickell area for Southside Elementary. And what they're going to do, they want to use this as an example moving forward. They're making a new middle school, and they're going to make one floor in the middle school for apartments for all of the teachers. So now you could just be at the school all the time.
Yeah. Well, it's a great idea. That's like, it's like putting a bed back here.
Yeah.
It brings me back to when we had to broadcast for the hurricane and I fell asleep and then I woke up in my office and then we got back on the radio.
Well, the only one who liked that was C-Lane, ironically. He just really was a fan of being able to stay here. But I think that was only because it was a limited amount of time. If you're a teacher and you're living at the school, man, does that pose all sorts of different issues, especially with the teacher sex stories that pop up in the news. Now you just take them upstairs. Hey, let's take a little break here.
Not all teachers are doing that.
Obviously not all teachers are, but the ones that are, it's going to be a little bit easier for them if you've got an apartment in the school. This particular school they're working on is going to have 300 apartments, so the teachers just end up living there, and some of these people are excited about it. It's an exciting opportunity, says Michael Liu. Land is at a premium in Miami-Dade County. It's difficult to come by, especially in the urban core. It starts to look like a prison at some point. It's like working at Angola. You know, in Louisiana, there's a prison called Angola. And it's a really interesting place. It's kind of like self-sustaining, and they have workers. The prisoners actually become workers and go out and do all kinds of stuff. They even have a rodeo there that the prisoners end up starring in.
Yeehaw!
But I watched this whole series about Angola. And the moment I found out that many of the people, including the warden, and the people who work at Angola also live there. They have like a little area with all these houses and one long street. And they live there. And I go, I don't want that. You need to somehow to get away from this stuff. You need an escape and pay them some more money. I understand that it's not a terrible idea, but I think you're going to find teachers, if this idea spreads where you just live at the school in some apartment, they go, I don't like the direction this is heading. You think people are going to go through college and say, I want to be a middle school history teacher? Because what I want to do, I've been thinking about this, I want to make like $35,000 a year. I want parents to yell at me all the time. And I want to live where I work in a tiny little apartment that looks like a classroom or something.
I don't understand why they couldn't have put that money towards the salaries of the teachers.
I guess they're saying, like, we've got the land already, and if we built this, then it's, you know, it's the same space no matter what. I think you'll find a lot of teachers say, oh, great.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, that's not exactly the solution that I was looking for. Man, Katy Perry is not having a good go at this whole American Idol thing. Did you see the latest thing that she got in trouble for? First was making out with that guy. She found some guy.
Did you get in trouble for that?
I mean, she got a lot. She got heat from people saying that the guy said he didn't want to do it. I mean, afterwards, he said that, of course.
He didn't tell the producers that.
He was involved in something and then complained afterwards. And she got some bad write-ups in the press for that. And now, this one is weird. I don't even know if they told her to do it. I just saw this during the break. So the American Idol reboot is on. Is Mama Lane watching American Idol, or is she a Fox girl?
She used to watch American Idol back in the day, and she used to, like, on the very last day for voting, she would have her landline in one hand and her cell phone in the other, and she'd go vote crazy, vote.
Mama Lane is the best. She doesn't watch the reboot on ABC?
I don't know if she does.
Well, Katy Perry is one of the judges, and they had a group of four girls who did a singing and dancing thing. And Katy Perry thought it would be funny to pull a prank on them. And so she goes, you guys were great, but there's four of you, and we can only take three. So somebody has to volunteer to quit the group right now.
Oh, that's pretty funny, though.
And one of the girls starts crying, I think. This is the best I could get with the audio. Let's see if we can. Okay.
Yes, Women Supporting Women 2018. That was a really good performance. The choreography, the synchronization, all of it was really mapped out very well.
So far, so good.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Girls, you were great. you guys all got stardust on you. And I mean, honestly, like, you guys as a group, you picked well. You guys know what you're doing. But we have room for three.
So there's four of them. And she goes, we only have room for three. And a bunch of people are watching this saying, this wasn't funny. She shouldn't have done this. This was mean to these people. She goes, only three of you can come.
Four people. Out of you girls, I need one person to volunteer to not go on to the next round.
That's mean as hell. They're all crying.
Oh,
one of them goes, I'll do it. Oh my God.
That's sweet.
Just kidding. She's in tears. She's now leaving the group.
Oh, sweetie, don't cry. You're all going through.
Oh, hilarious. I see.
You really don't think that's funny? You guys would have laughed like that had it been in any other situation. We made fun of an entire show.
They're all crying.
That was part of the fake American Idol.
This is like the worst version of the Gordon Ramsay. You're going home. But not now, because you're going to the next round.
I think it's funny. I just think Katy Perry seems awkward in a setting where she's kind of driving the show.
Here's the thing. The way it was pulled out as a bit is what made it uncomfortable. They played up everybody crying in this emotional moment. And then as it was about to the point where one girl is going to be the sacrificial lamb and walk off the stage, then they decide, ha, 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 you're all going. And I'm sure they just were excited and over the moon at the prospect of continuing on with all four of them. I don't know that it landed in the way that she was expecting there. Or maybe that's what they're going for. They just said, look, get out there, create a stir, cause some chaos out there, and give us some press. At least that's happened. Sean Penn, also in the news, he was doing a late show interview, which late show is Stephen Colbert, and he just lit up a cigarette in the middle of it, and people were saying that he was talking about being on Ambien, like he was high on Ambien, smoking cigarettes, and on the late show with Stephen Colbert. I didn't think he sounded messed up or anything, though. It's a little example of what he sounded like when he was talking to Stephen Colbert.
Because that's the sort of thing you can't even make jokes about.
Like, that sounds messed up.
That they take very seriously.
This is a fiction about fictional people. It is, on the other hand, also a kind of venting. Because I think this
sounds
also
all right.
What happens as you get older, is your idealism gets chipped at a bit. And then you're looking for...
That's how he talks all the time. They said that he was battling an Ambien hangover from some flight. He just lit up a cigarette. I guess you can do that, though, because if you're on the stage on one of these late shows and you smoke, I think you could say it's part of a performance or something.
Yeah, they have like those theater rules, don't they?
Yeah, if you have a cabaret license is what they call it, because that's what that was the excuse that Dave Chappelle, who now that he's quit smoking, he uses that Juul vape.
Yeah.
The one that you were talking about the one time, the square looking one,
everywhere right now.
He uses that on stage now, but before he used to chain smoke on stage, almost like Andrew Dice Clay level. And
you do the hand around the head thing.
No, he did the weird like you've got a lump through your arms thing, like the wacky waving inflatable arm flailing moment. Like he did this and then just kind of put it in. Because somebody,
the one person wave,
somebody in the front row asked him for a cigarette, and he said, "No, I can't give you one. I'm the only one allowed to smoke in this building because I'm putting on a performance."
Well, maybe Sean Penn is able to get away with the same thing there, but I didn't think he sounded messed up. Everybody wanted to run with headlines like Sean Penn is out of his mind and hammered on the late show. He just seemed like he was doing just fine, and I think he smokes at like everything, press conferences and everything you can think of. I mentioned this earlier, didn't get to it. That Chinese space station that's plummeting down toward Earth, it will land within days, according to the latest estimate from the European Space Agency.
And no one knows where it's going to land.
They're trying to figure out. They got like a band where it's going to land. It's getting smaller and smaller. But they got to figure out a little bit more about what this thing is going to do before they can tell you exactly where it's going to land. It's pretty big. It's a 40-foot-long space station.
Okay, and if it's pummeling down to Earth that's going to create some damage being 40, being that large, right?
I guess a lot of it is going to burn up. But still, if you've got like this 20-ton thing coming down toward Earth and 1 ton of it survives, you got a flaming 1-ton ball headed into Earth's atmosphere.
Oh, flaming 1-ton ball?
That is going to cause some sort of damage. They said they are currently predicting that it could possibly fall into the sea, which would be good for everybody.
Ariel.
Except for the fish and things around that area. But somebody's got to take the heat here. Better the sea than anybody else getting hit by
better
this.
Better the sea than me.
I know, it's right there, too. When we come back, a food writer taking heat for one particular tactic that they have been using, and it's an odd one. What is it? Well, that plus your dispatch is next. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
If you're not confused, you are not paying attention. This is the News Junkie.
Check out your dispatches in just a moment. That's amazing. Piracy changes and evolves all the time. And a lot of it is just changing faster than you would ever think. I remember a time where I thought, man, this whole torrent thing is amazing. That's what everybody's doing. You torrent music and you download torrents of movies or whatever it is you're looking for. And it's very hard to detect who's done that. Then a lot of the big cable internet providers started watching the traffic and sending people scary emails. There were some court cases. And honestly, the biggest thing that had an impact on piracy in the last couple of decades is just the fact that they've made it, most of these companies, pretty easy to get the stuff for cheap. And so you get it, and because it's cheap, you don't worry about going, cutting all the corners and going the route of piracy. But the new way that people are doing this is really upsetting the folks over at Spotify. And I had seen this. I had seen that you could do this on Reddit somewhere, like in the piracy subreddit, I think.
There's a piracy subreddit?
Yeah, yeah, and they discuss...
Why am I not a member of that?
They discuss a lot of stuff, but they discuss this Spotify hack in which you download some different versions of the app for your Android phone. It doesn't work on iPhone. And it makes it so even if you have a free account, it skips all the commercials.
Oh, yeah. No, I heard about that. It was something that where they, I think they reverse engineer the APK and then they go in there and they figure out how to get past the paywall. And you pretty much were able to operate Spotify as if you were paying for it.
Yes. That would have saved me like $300 by now.
Yeah, and it's saving a lot of people money, but even when I first saw it, I go, how many people are doing this? Right? How many people are downloading this? And then when you use it, you can't use all the features of Spotify. There's like a bunch of stuff that doesn't work anymore, and all you can really do is get it to skip the commercials. Spotify had to tell investors about this because it's going to change the way their business is operating. Because they're not getting commercials of these people. Mm-hmm. 2 million plus people are actively using this, which is like 2% of their user base or something. 2 million people are using that. So if you don't think people are interested in piracy anymore, not going the free route when they can, they definitely are. And that proves that's the case. With 2 million people going the route of downloading this stuff, sideloading it onto their Android device, which is a whole process. But anything for free. Let's go to these dispatches. Here is Dozer Status with a very first dispatch on a Share the Show Tuesday. Let's see how you do.
Hey, guys. Dozer Status. Listen for a long time. First dispatch.
Thank you.
Anybody going out to the food festival, make sure they save that as their cheater day and try to find deep fried Snickers. Will change your life.
Oh, they have that everywhere, don't they?
I got 8 other Dozer guys listening to the show now.
Nice.
Taught them into turning it to your station and they like it and we listen to it every day.
Well, hey, Dozer Peter.
Out of here. Woo!
Thank you, Dozer. All the people in the Dozers listening, hello.
How many Dozers are in one spot?
There's a bunch of them. I guess he was inside one. And his 10 Dozer friends, all these Dozer people listen to the show together. Hi, thank you. Appreciate that. He's really embracing Share the Show Tuesday. Another first-timer, here's Hugh Daddy with a dispatch.
Hey, guys, listening to the show on your question about getting banned from Universal. Actually got banned for a year for underage drinking before I was 21. They do associate it with everything, and if you go back, they are very serious about it. Just thought I'd had that help. Have a good day.
Tends to be that way, Ho Daddy. Appreciate it. Here's Bull Rider.
All right, real fast about the Universal thing and getting kicked out. I've been kicked out of there twice, been trespassed twice.
What?
Do I go back to Halloween Horror Nights? Yeah, if I want to, I do. They don't check your thumbprint when you walk through them scanners at the front on Halloween Horror Nights.
Right,
it's a metal detector. Walk right through. Have a good day, guys.
Glad we figured that out.
Yeah, all right. Thank you, Bull Rider. They still do the ticket process even though they have metal detectors.
Well, I know at least for the three of us, we cannot ever get banned from there because that would make for a complicated live broadcast.
Yeah. There'd be somebody back at the studio and then it'd be like, it would be really the elephant in the room. Like, we can't discuss this because somebody got kicked out. It's easier just to, I don't know, not get kicked out of a theme park. You have to go the extra mile to even do that. I mean, you got to be getting hammered or causing a lot of trouble to get to that level. Here's a Riddler Prime.
Hadouken!
I knew it was going to get at least one of those.
That's it, huh?
Over to Eddie.
Badges, we don't need no stinking badges.
Good.
Bah!
Makes it nice and easy. Here's Brandon.
Sorry, C-Lane. I didn't mean to make you mad or anything for calling in. I emailed Sean, and I didn't think Sean would get back to me, so I thought I'd just call you. My bad. Bye, guys.
You're in a fight with Brandon?
I'm not fighting with Brandon. He just decided that right after you gave a speech about not asking for specific badges, Brandon called in and asked me for a badge, and he got hung up on.
Oh.
Sorry, Brandon.
Did you do the... I remember that one time you got so angry, bam, slammed down the
asshole.
Phone.
No, I just...
did he say that?
Yes.
I forget who I was yelling at the time.
Slammed the phone, just in case you didn't hear it. On the end.
I've only seen you do that once, but that was bam, just right on the receiver.
And you don't get the same feeling when you're, you know, hanging up abruptly with your cell phone.
It
worked out that it was with the office phone here, so you get that feeling. You asshole!
Honestly, it's something we're missing from our lives, I think. People don't use house phones anymore, and you're correct. If you're on the phone with somebody and you're on your iPhone, you get in a fight with them, now you got to like turn it around and hit the button.
Yeah.
There's no satisfaction in that.
Or chuck it and then, you know, you're out $800.
Yeah, then you're breaking your own stuff. You got one of those old school phones, especially a corded phone. Bam, hit it down on the receiver with all the power. So you and Brandon are good to go. No problems.
We'll be fine.
All right, good. It's good to hear. Want to make sure everybody's copacetic today and working with each other and everything is good. Here's Concrete Mike.
Got a new coworker in my company. Was walking by his truck today and overheard the News Junkie playing from his stereo.
Nice.
Which I thought was cool. So I asked him, said, how long have you been listening to the News Junkie? He said, I've been listening since the 5 a.m. days, and I have all the t-shirts and everything. I love it. Having another junkie to work with.
There you go. Look, Share the Show Tuesday is really paying off. One more for now. Here's Fancy Nancy.
Hey there. You're talking about the apartment section of a school being built. It's funny because I remember when I was a student and if I saw a teacher outside of school, I was like, what are they doing out? Like, don't they just stay there all the time? And then when I was a teacher, I saw a student at the grocery store and she actually said to me, I thought you had to live and stay at the school. So it was really funny. So that would actually be happening in that case. But then it also reminds me or makes me think of how, you know, I don't know if you've heard of Vista Way, and now there's a whole bunch of apartment complexes for the Disney college program students.
Vista Lay.
That place, holy moly. I'm just wondering what would go down at some place like this.
I think you know.
Have all the teachers of a school or a district living in one place. Wow, very interesting to see. Okay, Thanks.
That's like a Melrose place waiting to happen. There's some sort of reality show there.
Vista Way was where all the CPs, all the college program people from Disney stayed when they lived in Lake Buena Vista.
Wait, they don't do it anymore?
They still do it. They just have a bunch of different places. But like when the college program was big, back in like the late 90s, 2000s, they all stayed over there and just partied.
Yeah.
And so that's why they called it Vista Lay. And it was actually in like Playboy or Penthouse as one of the top five places to get laid like that month in the U.S.
Would the school turn into that is the question. I think you just have more people who wouldn't want to be there. They just wouldn't want to live at the school that they work at. And I don't blame them for that. See, Lane, when making a chicken, the preparation process is very important, I would imagine.
Uh-huh.
You get your chicken, you do chicken stuff to it, whatever. Some sprigs of this, and some lemon chunks.
Bobbity boobity.
I don't know exactly
lemon
how it works.
Lemon chunks.
Lemon slices.
Okay.
You take them, and you put the sprigs on, little green stick things. And
thyme, then sprigs of thyme.
Cut the lemon into
slices,
quarters, and you throw those on top of the chicken, and then you rub it with oil or something.
Bam.
That's something that you could do. I would go slices of lemon if we're. Are we baking this?
Yeah, we're baking this.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah. Would you do this though? Because there's a woman by the name of Helen Rosner who has attracted a lot of attention on Twitter. She was showing how to properly cook a chicken. One of her steps is using a $400 Dyson Supersonic hair dryer to blow dry the entire chicken. And she says, I am using an astonishingly expensive hair dryer to remove all moisture from a chicken to maximize skin crispiness when I roast it.
You don't want dry chicken.
I want it juicy. Have you ever heard anybody drying out the chicken and blow drying a chicken? Before you do this, she defended this, even though people started to take her tweet and throw off the numbers.
If you Google this, and I'm assuming you're reading the New York Post article that came out about this woman used $400 air dryer to make roast chicken.
I am reading news.com.au, so okay. Australian news.
Oi, oi.
But there actually are a few... like tips. There's a video at mytartar.com, which I don't know why you'd even be talking about chicken at mytartar.com.
Seems dangerous.
Bustle has one. Lifehacker has one. Chicken tartare is not the tartare you want.
That's not a good idea.
A chef's hack. Use a blow dryer to make the best roast chicken. Now...
so this is a thing that people do?
Yeah, I don't think they're just roasting it with the hair dryer. They're using the dryer to blow off the moisture... and then putting it in a roaster. Well, it
says for a crisp skin, whether you're cooking a chicken or a duck or a fish, you want there to be as little water moisture as possible, which is sped up by a fan.
So many chefs will salt chicken skin and let the bird air dry overnight to wick away unwanted moisture, but some go one step further when they realize it's not ready. I mean, I guess you definitely don't want dry chicken.
No.
But you do want dry chicken skin... if you're roasting
it. For the crispiness?
To get it nice and crispy.
It just seems weird to put a hair dryer at anything other than your head. Just a blow drying a chicken seems like an odd choice for a Tuesday. But I guess some folks out there doing that and enjoying it. Back with your final dispatches, stories that didn't make the cut. And, of course, today I learned to wrap everything up for a Tuesday. Stay put. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Real Radio 104.1 on Twitter. Brought to you by Seacoast Bank. See why local is better by visiting seacoastbank.com. Better by all accounts since 1926. Member FDIC. From Radio 104.1. Story time with the three best friends you never knew you had. This is the News Junkie.
I'm down.
Dispatches, stories that didn't make the cut, and today I learned to wrap everything up for a Tuesday. Now, I mentioned earlier the whole March Madness thing, and I found the video really tears you in different directions because it's both absolutely adorable and funny, and also sad at the same time, because there's this little kid who's like the smallest NCAA basketball fan ever. And his mom has him all set up in his little chair, and he's got the laptop in front of him with the whole screen so he could watch the game. And I guess he's a fan of the team Duke. And Duke lost on Sunday to the number one seed Kansas. This little kid, was so upset. Mom films him, and he's just crying after Duke lost. And as he's crying, he's taking little breaks to sip this milk that's in front of him. He like is sobbing and upset, and then takes a sip of his milk. And it's a very little kid scenario. Here he is. Here, listen to, like, whimpering.
How do you feel about that?
Aww. It's so little, too. He takes a sip of his milk.
Do you have a favorite part of the game, or?
No.
Whoa, buddy. The smallest little Duke fan. He's going to be really upset. When he's like a grown man. And he's gone to Duke, and then he's watching a game on his new ultra-high-def TV. He's going to be just throwing stuff through there, probably still sipping on his milk, though.
How could CBS get so much flack for showing a kid sobbing so hard after his team lost? And then stuff like this, it's cute and goes viral.
Nobody has noticed it yet to the point where it's been highlighted like that. And then eventually somebody will go, look, more people! Their kids are crying, and they're making viral videos of it. And the instant upset factor just right through the roof. Let's get to those final dispatches. So let's see what's on your mind. You can send these in through the News Junkie app, and a lot of people did today, just like Danimal. Here's Danimal's dispatch.
Man, you don't know about good chicken skin? That skin's got to be bone dry, or it ain't never going to get crispy. And ain't nobody want no wet, nasty chicken skin. We want that crispy, that crunch.
I like crispy chicken skin, but I'll eat pretty much any chicken skin. I'm not going to say, nope, this one is not hair dried.
Oh, man. I've had the chicken skin made like they do the pork skin, where they deep fry it and make chicharrones.
Yeah.
But there's chicken chicharrones.
Oh, I don't think.
I've never even had that. Is it good?
Yeah, they have one of the places downtown has it.
Just not soggy, I guess. That's the goal. And that's why they're air drying or hair drying even. The skin on the chicken like that lady was. Here is Ian Moon.
Okay, guys, I got one for you. There's a woman on Food Network, and I can't remember her name. I think the show's called Semi-Homemade.
Sandra Day.
But she's a blonde, and she puts vodka in every single thing that she makes and drinks her ass off while she's cooking. You have to look her up. There's a specific episode where she discusses putting two shots of vodka into a specific dish and puts about a third of a bottle in there. So there's now,
I've seen this,
because of the show and the way that she acts, a bunch of these reels online and things online where it's her all clipped up and edited, showing putting the alcohol into the drinks, and then people just absolutely S-faced in between. You have to look it up. Hope you find it.
Bye.
It's even more than that. Sandra Lee's her name. And if you look up Semi-Homemade or Sandra Lee bloopers, or you'll fall down a beautiful rabbit hole that takes you way down into a very funny place. Not only does Sandra Lee make everything with a whole bottle of vodka, she'll go, look, I'm making a cocktail and just pour a whole bottle of vodka in, which is fun. But she also makes some of the most disgusting looking food ever. And there's a couple of clips where she makes something and then she tastes it and you can see that she is not enjoying it. Like her own food, she wants to throw up, and they zoom into her face contorting as she eats this. It is a good time to stroll through YouTube and look up Sandra Lee or Semi-Homemade bloopers. You'll like that. Here's Clemson Tom.
I can vouch for C Lane's story about Vista Lay. Cinderella and I had a little rendezvous there. Rachel, if you're listening, sweetheart, I still think about you. All right, that's it, guys. I'll be at the bar if you need me.
That's creepy, man.
Hey, Rachel.
Here's Waterboy.
I still think about
you. Yeah.
All right, so I'm in Claremont. I had a nice lunch. Jay Will stopped by, swapped magnets. I had a nice little Christmas magnet on the back of my truck
so far, so good.
About a block and a half, and some guy in a Rent-A-Center van comes in traffic and grabs it. So, nice grab guy, but now I'm magnetless and sad.
Uh-oh. You'll find one out there, maybe. I mean, I don't even see them that often myself.
I saw one Friday.
Oh, yeah?
Coming home from work. I was in front of this guy. He had a Tom and Dan magnet and a News Junkie magnet. And so I pulled up next to him. I rolled down the window. It got his attention. Gave him another one.
Oh, you gave him another one?
That's very sweet.
Just for playing the game.
There's somebody who's listening right now that goes, I don't even have one. And C-Lane's out there finding people with magnets already, giving them additional magnets.
I don't get to see them that often.
He also gave that guy a custom badge on the app.
Yep. The access to all of the custom badges that he wants for all history.
Why do you
just
do this,
call
guys?
Him. Just call him in the studio. 407-916-1041. Ask for Christopher.
Helpline.
Busied all the lines.
It's the badge helpline. Here's OTS Steve.
So I listen through iHeartRadio. Tell me why I'm in Melbourne, Florida, and I'm getting commercials about the new toll road in northern Texas.
It's important, actually.
Telling me that it's going to be easier for me to get to where I need to go in northern Texas.
Because
I really don't care about northern Texas.
Oh, that's rude.
Wow. Kind of weird.
Ha! This guy is going to need that road.
There's no talk like that on this station.
Sir, this is a very important toll extension in northwest Texas.
Starts in northwest Texas, extends all the way to wherever you're calling from, which is probably Florida. Did he say Florida?
Yeah, I think so. I think he said
in Florida.
Right to your driveway. It's a very, very convenient road, I guess.
Yee-haw-haw.
I don't know what's happening there. Maybe you got like a weird cell service or something. Here's Bear Mace with the very first dispatch.
Hey, News Junkie. Long-time listener, first-time dispatch. I just want to thank you guys for all that y'all do, because I'm a pizza delivery driver out here in Apopka. I work during the day, so your show is 90% of my work day.
Oh, thank you.
And I just want to thank you for making my work day a hell of a lot better.
No, thank you.
Peace out.
Thank you. Thank you, Bear Mace. Appreciate it. Chance the Rapper calls a Heineken ad, quote, terribly racist. I have the tweet here. He said, I think some companies are purposely putting out noticeably racist ads so they can get more views. And that S racist slash bogus, so I guess I shouldn't help by posting about it. But, cry emoji, I gotta just say, though, the sometimes lighter is better Heineken commercial is terribly racist, OMG. He got torn up in his at replies on Twitter, as he should have, over this. Because this ad, you have to fish. You have to fish all day to try to make it racist.
They pulled it.
Yeah, they did. They pulled it as a response. But if you watch this video, you would have to be doing gymnastics in the mental realm on another level to turn this into something racist. They're talking about lighter is better, as in light beer that is full flavored, which was the entire campaign that Heineken had. Nevertheless, they did actually remove the commercial.
That's stupid.
Best they could. They tried to remove it. That never quite works. Let's do Today I Learned.
The following information may make you feel smarter, but will not actually increase your IQ. So don't get cocky. Now it's time for what we call Today I Learned.
It is Today I Learned for a Tuesday, March 27, 2018. And here we are with seven more little factoid stories and all that good stuff. Credit goes to Reddit.com and the Today I Learned section. Let's get into the magic. Today I Learned, this movie series right here.
High School Musical.
Oh, yes. High School Musical, the classic. I don't know if it's a classic, but it was a gigantic thing for a hot minute. The high school where High School Musical was filmed was destroyed in a flash flood. Unfortunately, this was located in Salt Lake City, Utah. There was a problem there with the storm drains, triggering a flash flood that damaged homes and schools, including the iconic East High School where High School Musical was filmed. And the entire thing just got absolutely ruined and destroyed. Today I learned, four popes have died while having sex. Four popes all died while having sex. John the VII died in 707, way back when. They said he was bludgeoned to death by an angry man who reportedly caught him having sex with his wife. There's another one, later John, in the 930s.
Somebody killed a pope?
Yeah, it is alleged that the next John died after being heavily assaulted by a cheated man who caught the clergy having sex with his wife. Two different Johns.
Violence.
Pope John's killed having sex with somebody else's wives, and four in total have died during sex. Today I learned, This song here, I'll take the artist. Artist works just
fine. Oh, Trick Daddy.
Trick Daddy.
No, name.
Oh, yeah, I don't think we should say the name of the song.
No. This one's all censored out and good to go. But you know who's got a writing credit on this 1998 Trick Daddy tune?
Who?
Basketball legend Michael Jordan.
Really?
It doesn't say why. There's no explanation of why, but I looked, and it is indeed the case that if you go to the Wikipedia or you go to anything else where it says this song, Michael Jordan is listed as one of the writers on the song. Today I learned in Japan, letting a sumo wrestler make your baby cry is considered good luck. The tradition is 400 years old. It's believed if a baby cries in the wrestler's hands, it will bring good health and fortune to the child and keep the child away from evil spirits.
How does the sumo wrestler make them cry, though? That's
scary. I think it just has to happen. Otherwise, yeah, I mean, that's a real long way to go to get some luck for your child. Today I learned owls and crows hate each other.
Who?
Hate each other. Owls and crows, if they see each other out in daylight, one will try to kill the other every single time. For some reason, the species just don't get along, and they try to murder each other.
They do respect each other. That's why owls are mostly night and crows during the day, because of that rivalry.
They don't want to get into this any worse than it already is, I guess. Today I learned this band!
Nickelback.
Not one, not two.
Three Doors Down.
Three Doors Down is correct. The band Three Doors Down, their original guitarist was fired from the band after he, oh my God, C-Lane, after he DUI manslaughtered a guy.
What? You killed the guitarist.
He DUI manslaughtered a guy. A 47-year-old Paul Shoulders Jr. Harrell was speeding at 101 miles an hour during the crash. Thank you so much for listening. We do appreciate it. We're back tomorrow after the Monsters of the Morning. Stay put. The Phillips Files coming up next. And it's all right here on Real Radio.